Okay, everybody. Welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. I'm joined today by Gloria Cannata and
Hello.
also by Nathaniel Ebert. What's
Hey.
up, guys?
Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, well, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. I just figured I'd throw an invite out there. I know we haven't really talked that many times. We talk a little bit about residue here and there and stuff, but we never really had too many long conversations, and I just figured I'd throw it out there because I really like some of the work you're doing.
Cheers.
Yeah, awesome. So what I want today is for everybody listening, we're going to ask Nathaniel a little bit how a few questions about Mandela effect, how he came into it and stuff like that, how his profession helps him find these types of things. We're all going to present some new ones. We're going to present some classic ones. We're going to get his top 10 since you already heard ours. I'll briefly name mine real quick. And if you guys have some questions on it, we'll address it. Oh, my camera's not even on, is it? Okay. And then I want to talk about some music ones. Nathaniel's got some presentations he's going to run through. And basically, we're just going to do an all Mandela effect show today. So I hope you guys are ready for that. Nathaniel, so. When did you first? For me, it was like probably early 2015, maybe the end of 2014. When was the first time you started noticing
Well, you
what this
know,
Mandela effect?
yeah, well, it's funny. Like I'd say I'm like a latecomer to this. I had spotted like effects, but I never really knew like sort of the blanket term that was they were all under, like this Mandela effect, right? So in my day-to-day life, I had seen Dilemma lose an NA, which is something that I'd been taught at school since public school, right? And when I saw that had changed, I thought like, geez, my public school education totally let me down. It's actually Dilemma with two M's as opposed to the ending NA, right? Stuff like that. But it was like last year, September 2017, where it just like, boom, it just kind of hit that everything had changed.
I love the Dilemma one. That's a big one for me because you know why it's such a big one? Because people will say stuff like, oh, the S is just dropped, or you're just forgetting or adding a the. But if you're going to misspell a word, never mind the whole idea of us all collectively making the same mistake and putting the same thing in. Are
Right.
we really put a silent letter where it doesn't belong? A silent letter.
Right. And I can remember putting emphasis, like spelling it always be dilemma. No, even though I know you don't like say it out loud, right? Like if I'm going to misspell dilemma, I might have like just one M, right? Or just why put a silent N? It's just ubiquitously, like that's what we remember. And it's weird too, because I'd seen some of those like BuzzFeed articles going around saying like people had discovered Berenstain Bears that might like prove that we were from alternative universes. And I kind of just ignored them, right? Because in my mind, I didn't know the whole story, right? I thought somebody had found like a
Sounds
box of. Wait, sorry, I can't hear you.
No, I said it sounds ridiculous. They just put it out there in that headline. I saw the headline too, and I'm like, wow, these people are really nuts.
Well, same here. And in my mind, I rationalized it away. I thought, oh, somebody found a box of Berenstain Bears, a misprint, and they're using that as leverage to, say that there's alternate universes. What I didn't know is that Berenstain Bears,
Another way
the
around.
ones. Yeah.
No, I was saying you didn't. Actually, the flip of what you were thinking. You're coming in a little choppy, but you're good now. Your camera
Okay,
was getting
good.
off and your connection. All right. Sorry.
Yeah, and then it turns out Berenstain ubiquitously like is now stain, and it's like something I would have noticed. I used to be in charge of the kids section at a bookstore called Chapters, and we used to order that book. I used to shelve it. I have had to read it out loud to the children countless times, and it was always Berenstain by Jen and Stan Berenstain without the stain like spelling, right? I would have used that opportunity to make jokes. It's like it's just so. You guys are talking about top 10, personal top 10s. Do you mind if I just kind of walk through mine?
Yeah, no, I like that a lot.
Okay,
So just
cool.
tell the people out there real quick that are new to the show,
Yeah.
or maybe didn't see the top 10 we did. I just named off my top 10. I won't really get into them all now because I wanted Nathaniel to do his, and we've already done ours. But just so you guys know what my top 10 is, 10 was Timmy and the Well from Lassie. If you have any questions on what these are, then go ahead and ask, and we'll answer them real quick. 9 was We Are the Champions of the World. 8 was The Thinker Statue, Christopher Reeves. 6 was Mira Mira. 5 was JFK. 4 was Ed McMahon. 3 was C-3PO. 2 was South America and the Panama Canal. And 1 was Black Tom, the Statue of Liberty, and Ellis Island. So that was my 10.
Yeah, I'm with you on all those. They're crazy. Every single one. My top 10, it's just because the way I came into it, like a little late in 2017, right, where I was like, oh, all this stuff, it hit me all at once. It was like a Band-Aid. One, The Thinker. What the fuck? Sorry. Number two, Interview with the Vampire. Am I coming in clipping?
You're coming in a little choppy. It was really bad choppy. A few minutes ago, but yeah, your voice was lagging a little and your camera was getting distorted, but I don't know.
It seems if you move a lot, Nathaniel, that's what happens.
I'll stay still.
Yeah, if you don't move that much, you come in really clear.
Okay, like I was going to go through The Thinker, number one. Number two, Interview with a Vampire. Three, Charles M. Schultz from The Peanuts. He lost the T in his name. Number four, JCPenney. Used to be like the currency, now has an EY ending. Number five, this was really personal. From Around the World in 80 Days, Phineas Fogg was the main character. His name is now Phileas Fogg with an L, which is crazy. The Portrait of Dorian Gray, which is a book by Oscar Wilde, is now The Picture of Dorian Gray. Seven, I got DEA. My dad was part of the Drug Enforcement Agency in his own, not the DEA. He was at the local police force, but we were always kind of exposed with the DEA. It used to be the Drug Enforcement Agency, but it's now always been Drug Enforcement Administration. Number eight, Smithsonian Institute. Pretty ubiquitous. Right, and now it's the institution. Nine, Hass Avocados. Used to be spelled with two A's, and now it's Hass, like A-S-S. And lastly, Objects in Mirror May Be Closer Than They Appear is now Are Closer Than They Appear. So,
yeah, no, that's a really good list. I love a lot of it. I actually agree with all of those. The one I'm surprised that people don't pick up on is the Objects in the Mirror, because everybody's driven a freaking car. And at least I know in North America they used to all say, and I can't speak for other countries, but they always said A, B closer than they appear. Now they just straight up say R. And I mean, I definitely remember that. Yeah, you have a lot of good ones in there. It's crazy. The Thinker one, why don't we talk about The Thinker for a minute? I mean, we could do a series of shows on The Thinker or the Statue of Liberty.
Right.
And why don't we talk a little bit about, like Gloria, for instance, you know, when we look at the Statue of Liberty or The Thinker, right? Like, it's crazy because I don't think people understand, like, we're watching it change in, like, real time, because we're, like, analyzing these things. Like, these things have changed. Like, there's been times where they've changed, like, once a week for a little while. Like, the Statue of Liberty's changed so many times. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah. I want to know where those people are that said that it was always like that, and then it changes to something else. Where are those people that don't see the new changes? That just means we're shifting and shifting and shifting and shifting. And those people who said that they never seen the change, I mean, it's always been that way, they're no longer here. We're somewhere else. We're shifting so fast because these things mm-hmm. are changing so fast. You know, you understand what I'm saying, right?
Absolutely. Like, it's like the new party line becomes, it's always been that way. Like, who are these people saying it's always been that way? To me, The Thinker was the one that really sold me on the fact that this wasn't just a case of misremembering or confabulation, because my wife is a sculpture major. She studied Rodin. Like she was there with me for the first time. We're expecting this kind of pose, right? Where he's like fist to forehead. When we saw it in September, it was crazy because he was not only, we're expecting this, but he was, let me demonstrate the pose, gingerly resting his chin on the back of his of his open hand with his fingers touching his neck like this. Mm. Right? And you're like, whoa, that was weird. But you start rationalizing, thinking, well, maybe I misremembered. But then in November, he changed again, and he was now, instead of resting his chin on the back of his hand, he was suckling his knuckles, like really like just cramming his knuckles, teeth to fist. He was under close scrutiny the entire time that I discovered the first time. So seeing him change again in real time was just mind-blowing. I knew, like, whoa, this is real, right?
Yeah. Well, this is where, like, people will say, oh, why is it just these trivial things like a misspelling or a song or a movie or something? But, right. Like, the Statue of Liberty, the whole continent of South America, the JFK assassination, what do you mean it's only little things? The reason, and I don't know how you feel about this, Nathaniel, like, okay. I have a talk. But then I would have another list where, like, ones I would use to approach people. Mm. Because you can't slap people with the geography and the anatomy and shit because it doesn't resonate with most of them. So you have to go with the pop culture stuff. That's what they're not understanding. You know what I mean?
Well, that's it. I think that's our common touchstone, right? Like, you're living in New Jersey, I imagine, right? I'm Boston. From Boston. Okay, cool. Yeah. And I'm from Canada, but I mean, we both all know like Charles M. Schulz and stuff, right? Those are like, you know, I'm sure there's local things that I've seen that won't resonate with you necessarily. Like I've seen McCain fries used to be McCain's with an S. It's a Canadian brand. I mean,
we have those. They're frozen French fries. We have.
Yeah. Them. You know, I've seen that used to be McCain's, and I have anchor memories of the, like stupid, like earworms, like all those advertisements from the 90s. Like I still sing them because they're stupid, right? Like McCain's got a great new pizza snack. Like it's ridiculous, right? But it was McCain's.
Sarah Lee.
Yeah. Right. You know. So So I think that's why they resonate with more people. Like it's a good intro, just all of the pop cultural stuff, like from the I Love Lucy, him that they're saying like, Lucy, you've got some splaining to do. You know, like everybody knows
that. So much residue. Mad TV's got a few clips, Saturday Night Live. I mean, it's just everywhere. I mean, they come right out and say it, and they're just doing an I Love Lucy skit. It's crazy. I think one of the funnier ones, because you know, there's all different ones for different moods. Like I like the music ones. There was a while when I would just, you know, because I like to research a lot of the topics. I was using Mandela Effect. I wasn't as deep into it as I am now, but I was looking at it for years. I was just I would use it to unwind kind of, and I would look at the music ones, and I would think it was kind of cool. You know what I mean? But the one that's really funny to me is the Timmy in the Well. What do you think about that? Go on YouTube and you see all these people doing the Timmy in the Well impersonation with their dogs, and they're like, what's that, Lassie? Their dog box. They're like, Timmy's in the Well. Timmy's in the Well. All that episode's never happened.
Well, I think it's insane, right? Because the guy who played Timmy wrote a biography that I think says, like, I'll have to pull up his biography, but it mentions like Timmy down the well, the true story.
That's the title of it. That's the title of it. John Provost, the title of his biography, his autobiography, is Timmy. Awful quiet. Have you seen that?
You know, Brian, yeah, I did actually. You know, yesterday was really weird for me because I feel like we're trying to put this Mandela thing out there. We're trying to wake up people and make them understand that reality's changing. But sometimes I feel like we're talking to no one because we're shifting so much that the same people we spoke to yesterday trying to convince are not the same people today. And I'm going to tell you why. Last night, I called up my girlfriend. She's my girlfriend for 35 years. When I first found out about the Mandela Effect and it hit me was the end of 2015. And the first thing I did was call my girlfriend up and I says, Bonnie, where, and I'm from New York, we could see the Statue of Liberty from my window. And I'm like, Bonnie, where is the Statue of Liberty? And she turned around and said, Liberty Island. Next year, 2016, I asked her the same question. She said the same thing. Three times I did it. Last night, I was on the phone with her, and out of nowhere, I just said, Bonnie, where's the Statue of Liberty again? She goes, Ellis Island. Why? I said, what? I says, it's not on Liberty Island. She goes, Gloria, what's Liberty Island? Never heard of it. I mean,
she had already previously said Liberty. So she went from Ellis to Liberty for a while and back to Ellis?
No, she always said Liberty Island. She never said Ellis Island. She says it's always on Ellis Island.
When you knew her in the year 2000 or something, she even said Liberty back then?
I don't know. Maybe I said it wrong. In 2015, I asked her. She said Liberty Island. 2016, I asked her. She said Liberty Island. And
I understand. I'm saying before all that, when you knew her back in the day, before the Mandela.
We never talked about it. We knew where it was. We lived right there.
Right. She assumed it was Ellis Island. She grew up thinking Ellis.
Last night, and she goes, Gloria, what's Liberty Island? I've never heard of Liberty Island. I just got this weird feeling in me. And I says, oh, my God, I'm talking to myself. All this time talking to myself. That's how it feels. Feels like the same people we tried to reach out to yesterday are not the same people today.
Well, I think, though, I do think that it does affect everybody. I don't know what you think, Nathaniel, but the reason I think it affects everybody – and I don't think it affects everybody the same or as prevalently. Obviously, to people more aware, more attuned to it, it affects them more. I think we can establish that. We don't even have to get too much deeper into that. Mm-hmm. But I just there's some that everybody knows. Like C-3PO being all gold, Ed McMahon publishes Clarence House. Like everybody knows. Bring it up. You don't really have many people, even detractors of Mandela, saying I always remember a silver leg. Like nobody does that. Well, so it is affecting.
Here's the thing, too. You can see that if you do like a random sampling of the population, they have that. The name is eluding me. Maybe you guys can help me. The HQ quizzes, right? There's an app you can win $5,000 every week. They've been dropping Mandela effects to kind of throw off the people because essentially they're asking trivia questions, right? So they'll be like, there was the one, what does the evil queen say in Snow White? And they have three choices, mirror, mirror, magic mirror, or whatever. And 98% of them choose mirror, mirror on the wall. right? So it's obvious everybody playing this game remembers it the way we do. I think when you pose the question in the guise of like, hey, the universe is changing, I think people tend to clam up, like the cognitive dissonance comes in, you know, like it's a hard thing to admit.
You have to ease them into it. Did you see the video that I forget whose channel it is? I'll put it in the links after and I'll send it to you too. It's called Mandela Effect Hits the Streets, and they do exactly that in Australia. They're out on the street and they're giving people what they're calling a memory test, and they have 20 questions. They're all Mandelas, and the people get like 11-13% right according to current reality. They're all getting them used to be. Some of the people are even flipping out saying, oh no, the red must mean I got those right. He's like, no, those are all the ones you got wrong. What do you mean? What do you mean they never said mirror, mirror? What do you mean Berenstain, not Stein? Like, they had a lot of – it's crazy. Sorry to backtrack, but earlier you said you were talking about the Berenstain and Berenstein and how you worked at the bookstore and all that. Just so you know, because you said like 2017 you started looking at this?
Yeah.
Well, even back in the day when I started looking at this, that was the first one that got me too. It was Berenstain, and JFK. Even though that's not in my top 10, JFK is like top 5, top 6. But those were the two that grabbed me right away, like the six-seater car. And oh, my God, man. The whole scene has changed for me. I don't know about you, but it's not just the six seats. It's the whole –
It's one of those things. I know that the footage has been scrutinized, like the JFK film stuff. It's not one that I really had followed, but I can see that I don't remember it being the way it is. To me, the Berenstain Bears, though, that one was really – it's like a gateway experience, right? Because, it definitely was never Berenstain growing up. Like, there's no – it's not even a question of, like, misremembering. Like, I know it wasn't that. I wish I had seen it – gotten into it sooner, because I'd seen those articles going around, like, as – growing up. Like, as late as, like, 2012, right? So, it's too bad I didn't bite. But I think there's just so much changing at this point. People are beginning – it's hard not to notice. Like, I see people on Twitter all the time talking about, like, Sex in the City – and you know it's now Sex and the City, but like people don't even realize that things are disgusting have changed on them.
That one has a ton of residue. You brought that up in your top 10. And I'm seeing the videos with them at all the award shows and everything. Sex in the City, Sex in the City, Sex in the City, over and over and over again. Handing out awards at the official shows. They write of Sex in the City, quoting it as Sex in the City. Like, how much more slam dunk? That's like the Johnny Carson residue with David Letterman. He's got the big publisher's clearinghouse check. He says, sorry, Dave, Ed couldn't be here tonight, but you're the $1 million winner. And it's not a family publishing check. It says publisher's clearinghouse right on it. And people are going to say, we misremember this. Are you telling me that back when Ed used to do that publisher's clearinghouse in, like, at the time that we say he did, if you want to say he didn't at that time, and he did the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, you telling me Johnny Carson is going to get that wrong about his partner? Else he works, David Letterman is going to not know, and the entire staff, because they obviously have a staff that puts together the Tonight Show that made the giant check. So obviously the late show with Dave Letterman, whatever, that puts together the check, you're telling me the whole production crew, they're all just going to misremember something that's actually happened at that current time. It's not even something 30 years ago to them. It's actually going on. So they're just all misremembering that. They don't know where Ed McMahon works.
Yeah.
Everybody knows the Ed McMahon one. Dude, Ed McMahon's from my hometown. He's from here. Everybody knows.
Yeah. He was handing out checks, large checks. It's like everybody knows that, right?
In balloons, and he used to go door to door, act surprised whether it was staged or not. I don't know, but he'd go there, tell them they won the million to $10 million. He'd have a giant check and a bunch of balloons, and they'd come out, they'd start crying. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Yeah. Those ones are big. And what's your opinion on the ones that flip flop, like the Apollo 13, the Flintstones? Did you catch any of those in real time, or did you only hear?
I caught the Apollo 13, which is insane when you see it, because we're not talking, and some people try to rationalize away saying we're getting confused between the NASA recording and then the adaptation in the movie, and I was aware of that.
They both changed.
Well, you see, so you have Apollo 13, Tom Hanks, I'm expecting when I see it in September, the famous line, Houston, we have a problem in present tense, and he's saying very audibly, Houston, we've had a problem in past tense. And it's like, whoa, you know, like it shocks you. But then a few months ago, it changed back to Houston, we have a problem. The same exact clip that I was like, you know, sharing with my friends. It's not like an edit, right? Like, it's like, the actual source has changed. So the flip-flops to me are, again, reassurance to me that it's not a like a mental or like a psyop or something. This is like something big's changing.
Where are the people? Where are the people that commented and said that line has always been that way? And when it flip-flopped, where were those people?
Oh, yeah, they're nowhere to be found. Now I know exactly what you're saying.
One, Brian, not one. You can go on the videos. There's not one that said, oh, my God, this is a flip-flop. I never believed in the Manila
flip-flop. They have that thing. They have that thing where it's, you know, even if, you know, for the most part, they're well-meaning people, they have that ego thing where they can't admit that they were fooled.
Maybe.
You know? It's crazy, and that's what I've been dealing with for 8 years doing shows, is trying to get people past that hurdle to, and it's okay.
Yeah, but
why do you want to continue to be fooled, or why do you want to, maybe this isn't somebody fooling us, because I don't think it's a man doing it.
No.
I have to get into that, but let's just say it's, why do you continue to not want to expand your knowledge and be stuck and put yourself in a mental box? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, if you have, like, an inkling of curiosity, right? Like, I can... My knee-jerk reaction, if you're presenting this to me and I have never experienced the Mandela effects, is to kind of like shut it down a little bit, because we've been indoctrinated with the whole idea of rational thinking beyond all else and stuff. But if there's 100,000 people all saying the same thing and you start seeing like physical proof, you're like, okay, well, there's something to this effect, right? Like I want to explore it and not just shut it down and call you an idiot or dumb or like sling, like, you know, insults. Can I just borrow the screen for a sec? Because I want to just show stuff for the thinker. Here, let me see if I can do this. I'm just gonna.
Yeah, you just gotta hit the. Yeah, go ahead. Know how to do it.
All right.
Keep it as long as you need it.
Okay, so here we are. I'm just gonna show you the thinker, because to me, this is it gonna be a good lead into why residuals might stick around, because it's something that I've been doing a lot of research in particularly in old newspaper archives. So you guys can see the screen. Just
yeah, if you could blow it up though, it's very small. The picture.
Okay, I'm gonna do it. Here, let me just. Load up here. So here's the thing, guys. There are a lot of these types of photos where people are in front of the Rodin's thinker and they're trying to imitate the pose. Here's a group of children essentially imitating the pose the way I remember it. Again, his closed fist pressed against his forehead. But if you look at the statue behind them, he's no longer in that pose.
And that's right? Not one person. That's not one person imitating it. That's a bunch of people.
Yeah, right. Unless that lady, which is a great one, the lady that does it in front of it gets down on the knee. But look at how many there are. And it's like, how would all these people, how would even one person travel to such a huge monument and just do such an iconic pose wrong? And Nathaniel, what's the source of this? Where did this come from?
You know what? Are you talking about the photos? I've just been finding them online, really just doing a Google search for like imitating, and then in quotes, the thinker. Or pose the thinker. And there are quite a lot of them. I'm just gonna scroll through, because to me, again, here, listen. Again, just to reiterate, it changed three times. I've seen him in three different positions just last year. The first time I saw that he had changed was Unbiased and On the Fence, who does a YouTube channel documenting a lot of Mandela effects. For him, it was a big surprise, but what he's showing here is the pose as I remember it. Again, it's his open hand with his chin resting on his open hand and his fingers outstretched, pressing against his neck. I'm just going to scroll through. And then he changes again. Here you can clearly see him suckling on his knuckles. And even his hair, he used to have kind of like a plastic can hairdo, right? And he's got kind of like this Florentine cap. It's like a thinker's cap. You know, it's apropos, but it just wasn't like that. Here, you were talking about this one, right? The woman who's posing... Yes. Again, fist to forehead, and in the back, he's suckling on his knuckles. Yeah, that was cool. And there are others like this. I'm just going to scroll through just to find those particular ones, because I think it's...
I love this one. So, yeah, as much as you want to show them, okay. I think a huge one.
Here's another guy posing in front of it, getting it wrong, because it's so hard to do, right? And here's another poor kid. Sitting here at a Lego display that's imitating the thinker, but once again, fist to forehead and the thing behind.
Look at that, huh? That's a good one, dude. Look at that, Gloria.
Oops, here.
Yeah.
I'm just going to scroll through. See, not a lot of people realize that. Let's see if I got this one. This is a very interesting one. George Bernard Shaw was actually a model for Auguste Rodin. He did a number of poses for him. The Night of the Vernissage. where they unveil the Thinker, he has this good idea. He's going to go back to a studio with this. This is George Bernard Shaw in what they call in the pose of the Thinker. So the night of the Vernissage, he was so inspired by the Thinker that he decided to go home and take a photo with a buddy of his in the pose of the Thinker. You can find it in the gallery. Again, it's called George Bernard Shaw in the pose of the Thinker, taken in 1906.
But Nathaniel, you know Bernard. I remember this also, and I remember watching this whole thing on him. But now in this reality, he's done more than one pose about the Thinker. Come on now. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's good. You know, and let me just see. I'll grab one more because it's like, geez. Here's another one. This is an ad from the IBM personal computer it's from 1989. This is just a little clip that happens in the video. We can maybe link the video in on the channel later, but there's this clip of the Thinker as kind of Fist of Forehead, but the joke is he's kind of looking off to the side as these like gray or really beige computers come off the assembly line. He's like, ooh, look, new IBMs, right? But if you're going to go through, it's not like they're violating copyright, right? Like, why even have him contemplating this way if it was never in that way? Yeah, we won't look at the commercial, but I think, here, I'm going to give you back the screen for a sec.
Okay, go ahead.
Did that work?
Yeah, we're back.
Okay, cool.
The camera's back. All right, cool. Except Gloria, your camera.
Excuse me, Pauline.
So when I'm going to walk through some of like my personal effects, the idea about residuals, I do a lot of research, like I said, on newspapers.com. If anybody wants to do it, you can set up an account and look yourself, right? So it's not like I've doctored these. Like, you can go and find JCPenney ads yourself. Mm-hmm. They have something like over 300 million newspaper scans. So you can do a search like you could do for Google, and it coughs up all sorts of things. Here's something, guys. I like this statistic because people say something like interview with a vampire, right? I've always known it as interview with a vampire. It's interview with the vampire. People say, oh, you know, and the. It's, when you say it out phonetically, it's easy to kind of mix up the two words, which is kind of a ridiculous rationalization. But you know, given that, here's the thing. If I do a search for interview with a vampire on newspapers.com, I get 6,790 matches. Right. And all of them are like these articles that are like interviewing Anne Rice herself, where she talks about interview with a vampire. So it's like, it's not like just a typo. We're talking about like throughout the article, in the headlines, in the captions. Like, now here's the thing, right? If you think a and the are easy to get mixed up, to kill a mockingbird, if you look up to kill the mockingbird, right, you figure those, that could be an easy way to get them mixed up. You get zero matches.
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing, right? If you do like 22,000 leagues under the sea, right? If you do 22,000 leagues under a sea, you know, just change the, you get zero matches. Nothing.
Zero. None. Absolutely like none. So the idea that people would confuse that, and we're not just saying regular people, maybe regular people would confuse it, but the idea that people would confuse it and it would make it into print in the newspaper is basically 0%.
Mm-hmm. 0%, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because that's what they have editors for. Not that editors don't miss shit, but there's not going to be It's not going to be 1,000 results this way to zero this way. Many thousands.
Exactly. And in fact, statistics aren't my thing, but I'm sure somebody out there can probably do some of the math and say statistically the numbers prove that there's something happening, right? Here's a Mandela effect. Little Tykes. It's a children's brand. They make
little trucks and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Little anthropomorphized trucks that have faces. Right, they actually say that it's funny because the Little Tykes coupe, they say, is this most the biggest selling American car sports model because everybody's had this little stupid car. Little Tykes used to be spelled for me with a Tykes, T-Y-K-E-S. Now, if you look it up online, Tykes is spelled with a T-I-K-E-S, right? But if you look it up on newspapers.com, there's actually more results for Little Tykes with the Y. Something like 290,000 to Little Tykes with the IKES, it's like 100,000. So there's almost like twice as much for the thing that doesn't exist, results for the thing that doesn't exist.
And I know it with a Y.
Yeah, I know it with a Y. Tykes with an I is strange.
You know, before we get into a whole bunch more, why don't you tell people a little bit like why you feel maybe your profession helps you notice the kinds of changes? And you know, maybe a little bit about your website where you've built this database. Cause I think that I love sharing that. And people, you know, that's cause you would do the newspaper.com. Like we all do different things, for instance, right? Like Gloria, you do a lot of your say you do a lot of your residue searching on Facebook and YouTube or whatever. I might spend a lot of my time doing some of that, doing some other topics and setting up for the show. You spend a lot of your time doing newspapers.com. And I think it's great that we all get together and kind of just share resources and share, you know, everybody has their own thing. And I think what you're doing is a great thing. So can you just get into those things a little?
Yeah. Essentially I'm a graphic designer. I was a creative director at various design agencies in Toronto. So we're doing, I mean, it's part of my job to know a logos, because it's essentially what I studied. I do a lot of visual identities and branding. So I'm making logos for companies. But some of the companies that we worked with when I was in Toronto are like, I don't know, Yahoo, Samsung. You know, I have a professional interest, a vested interest to know my industry. And when A logos start changing, like the Ford logo goes from a normal F and it's got a little like squiggly pigtail almost in the stroke of the F, I notice it, right? Here's one thing, the Volkswagen logo, when we're learning how to do like stuff for print ads, I've had to copy the very famous series of ads. The big one is like where they present the image of the Volkswagen Beetle and they say lemon underneath, right? Because lemon used to be kind of like, huh, you bought a lemon, but here it's a little cute yellow car. I used to have to hand draw those ads by hand just to get a sense of like how to use space and stuff. But the logo is something that I've always had to draw, and the logo now has a gap between the V and the Volkswagen, the W. It didn't, but when I used to draw them.
Do you have any of your drawings still? And if you do, did they change?
You know what? No, I don't have any of those drawings. Here's one thing that blows my mind. Okay. Oscar Wilde did the Portrait of Dorian Gray. And I helped art direct a gothic horror anthology. So it's all these like stories that are kind of like paying homage to the Penny Dreadful. So knowing Victorian gothic fiction.
With the old guy and the girl looking forward in front of the house, but now they're looking a little different.
No, that's the American Gothic. We're talking a Portrait of Dorian Gray is a book where it's this guy who has this portrait. He has eternal youth, but the portrait that he's hiding in his house is kind of decaying. So when you see it, like he's actually getting old, but just in a portrait. It's called The Picture of Dorian Gray now, right? I'm trying to remember where I'm going with this. What's crazy is there's still The Portrait of Dorian Gray, as I remember it, like there's still a few editions with it in circulation. Here's what I wanted to bring up. I had done an e-cover for The Portrait of Dorian Gray. So I thought, no, there's no way it was always Portrait of Dorian Gray. I went to look at my files from about 5 years ago. Crazily enough, it now says The Picture of Dorian Gray. The cover I did says The Picture. And I'm like, what? Because I remember setting the type and I remember it saying portrait. And now my own, like I can't use that as evidence because it's changed on me, right? So I don't know if those sketches of Volkswagen that I did, like when I was learning design, would even still have no gap. I'm sure they probably have gaps. I don't know why.
It's a big one.
Go ahead, Gloria.
No, I'm saying the Portrait of Dorian Gray is a big one because my ex-husband always used to call me that. He's like, you sold to the devil. You're the Portrait of Dorian Gray. And I'm like, yeah, it was
What? You know how we talked about the ones flip-flopping, how those are really big, yeah. Right? Have you seen what in Back to the Future with the not just the residue of the Volkswagen logo, but how it actually changes from frame to frame?
Yeah, I have seen that. It's interesting. I mean, my parents used to have the Volkswagen Beetle. That's what we got around in, right? So I used to look at that logo every day. And I have a friend who's worn the same stupid Volkswagen blue. It's like a sort of a windbreaker. He's had it for 20 years. And what's crazy is, I mean, he's one of these like very rational kind of engineering type minds. And he recognized that the logo that's sewn onto his jacket has changed. And he couldn't understand it because he went to look at it. And it's like, it's one of these embroidered patches. And the embroidery's changed on it. It's got a gap in it. It never had a gap.
Well, here's another thing too. Not in this chat, but I also am simulcasting this on Facebook because I'm just like screen grabbing it and doing a live video. some of the people in the chat there are pretty skeptical, and they're like, you know, products, and they made a little like type of face going. You know, we can easily explain to you that, like, you guys don't understand. This is not about companies like changing their logos or the products changing names. There's a well-documented history of all these types of changes where you can go and look and see what years companies change their logo, change their design, all the shit. And these changes are not recorded. It's like as if they've never happened the way we used to have them. For instance, you know about the Looney Tunes, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And the Looney Tunes, not only do we remember it as Tunes, T-O-O-N-S, the Tiny Tunes, which is not only characters from the same company, it's literally the same characters when they're children. Mm-hmm. And that's still T-O-O-N-S. Why would it ever be T-O-O-N-S if the other one was always T-U-N-E-S? And then on top of that, they registered the domain name T-O-O-N-S 2 or 3 years before they registered the T-U-N-E-S, which makes no sense. Now, I have a website. I think you probably do, Nathaniel, too, and a lot of people listen probably have their own website. You guys all know you register your name, your website that you want first, and then when they make you little offers for $2 or $3 to register a similar domain, you grab it so if people get lost, they find your site by accident. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't register the T-U-N-E-S 2 years after they register the wrong one. These Mandela effect backstories are so nonsensical. It's every time, isn't it? Isn't it amazing?
Well, yeah, it's a really like very loose. Right? Like, it's just amazing. I always find you land on the wiki page and there's one line that completely like almost disrupts any critical thinking. You're like, well, people say, well, it says right here it was always Looney Tunes, and they stop thinking, right? And you're like,
as usual. Exactly.
Yeah, I think the cornucopia for Fruit of the Looms, right? That's another one that's well documented in their history. They never had a cornucopia. Like, dude, I learned the name like. Everybody, as a kid, you look at your underwear, you're like, what is this stupid horn? And your mom says, it's a cornucopia, and you learn a new word for that day, right? Like, and to know that it was never there.
You learn that word. It's the only time you've ever had to learn it. So, like, right. You know we have to deal with that.
You know, so I imagine you have some people who are, like, listening. Would you mind if I kind of walk through some of the residuals? Because I think that helps. It helped me.
Go ahead. Do you want to screen share or do you want to just talk?
I'll screen share and we can all talk at them. Now, to me, this is kind of like how I've been assimilating, let's say, these changes. Because if I couldn't find physical evidence, I would assume, okay, it's just in my mind. But the fact is, there's like what I call it an embarrassment of riches. There's like a treasure trove of hard physical evidence. We're talking about like newspapers, say for JCPenney as an example that we're going to kind of wander into. Right? Like, we have not just people, like articles misquoting JCPenney, but these are ads from JCPenney itself with the N-N-E-Y spelling. I'm just going to grab the screen for you, from you guys. Here, I'm grabbing it. Here, let's talk about Interview with a Vampire, because, again, we were talking about ones that have personal anchor memories, right? Now, like I said, there's 6,700 matches on newspapers.com. None for like, you know, no. To kill the mockingbird. I'm just gonna scroll through here. I'm just gonna press pause. So we have interviews with what's her face? Anne Rice, right? You know, Rice, her real name, has two bestsellers in The Interview with a Vampire and The Vampire Lestat. Again, you're gonna be inviting people to this is what's interesting that you find often, and it's the reason why I showed you guys the residuals of The Thinker, because often the original thing gets changed. Here's an ad for Interview with the Vampire, but at the top, it's kind of imagine these are like the kids who are posing, imitating Interview with a Vampire. So it says Interview with a Vampire at the Mark Evenings. What's happening? Interview with a Vampire. It's coming to town. This next one, sorry, you guys can see this on your end, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, cool. So this is an actual interview with Anne Rice, right? And here's a quote verbatim. It says, I think any good book is about your own life. I could point to moments in Interview with a Vampire and Exit to Eden and say, this is exactly something that happened. Now, I mean, unless Anne Rice is like, I don't know, drunk off her gourd, there's no reason to.
She doesn't know her own thing. Just like people tell me, oh, well, I had one person tell me when I did the Painted Black, you know, the Rolling Stones Painted Black Mandela Effect.
Right.
So I played that, and I, you know, how, you know, I used to say, I see a red door and I want to paint it black. And now it's, I want it painted black. So I showed, there's like two good residues of it, live shows them. And there's one from just a few years ago, and the person says, oh, well, you know, he's just 70 years old, so he doesn't know his lyrics. And I'm like, well, he's been singing for 50 years.
You know, again, here, interview with a vampire author, you got a chance to make a pun. One of the vampire author. There's only one, right? You know what I mean? Like, and then throughout the actual, you don't have to read the article here, but they talk about interview with a vampire a few times. Again, you could buy Interview with a Vampire by Anne Rice for $8.95, which is a crazy price. Books have gone up, like they've doubled. Again, Interview with a Vampire by Anne Rice. Interview with a Vampire was written by Anne Rice in 5 weeks to meet a deadline. Who knew? There's just so many of these, right? Tom Cruise stars in Interview with a Vampire. Interview with a Vampire opens today. You know, why did they get it wrong? So for me, this is a big, we'll call them anchor memories, because I grew up as a goth, right? And goths immediately kind of almost like graduate, you get Interview with a Vampire. And in the 90s, when the film came out, that was kind of a big thing. We all went to see it. And I used to have this radio show on university radio where my theme song was from the Interview with a Vampire CD. It was the first track called Libra Me. I would play it every Wednesday or every Saturday when my show was, right? But I would go to the studio at CISM and I had to fill out a requisition form. And I must have written Interview with a Vampire 50 times, because then they would go and into their collection and get the CD out for me every single time. It's like, it's not like something I've misremembered. This is my favorite book, right?
That's what people, some people, you know, they think it's like, oh, well, they're just, it's like, you. That's why when some of these are so much our favorite thing, it's like Star Wars is my favorite movie, like ever, right. Like that. I wouldn't notice C-3PO having a silver leg. It's just ludicrous, man.
So yeah, I'm going to wrap this up as far as Interview with a Vampire, but you can go to newspapers.com and see for yourself. But like here, Cruise bloodied by his role in Interview with a Vampire, you know, author Anne Rice and the men who turned her bestseller Interview with a Vampire into a $50 million movie. And you know, like here's the thing. I have worked in newspapers and stuff before. The public is very pedantic. If you make a mistake, you get hundreds of letters that say, you know, Interview with a Vampire is really Interview with the Vampire. And you have to run those letters. And doing my research, I have not found a single letter where people like have written in to the editor saying, like, you know, learn to read, idiots. It's Interview with the Vampire, which to me is like lends credibility to the fact that like it may have very well been Interview with a Vampire at some point, right?
You guys don't mind if
I move on to the next one, because again, there's a lot of changes people probably don't even realize have changed. This is a big one for me.
I like this one. I grew up on these books, even probably more than the Berenstain.
Hey, do you remember when they did the awards a few years back and they made a mistake and they called the wrong winner and it was all over the news and the internet and everything like that? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's the same thing, because they did the awards and said Interview with a Vampire. So why would it make a big deal out of making a mistake then, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you guys remember that. It was all over the internet that they called the wrong one.
I remember both situations. I remember them. Yeah, I remember both situations. Yeah. They read the wrong name or like took the wrong envelope or whatever it was, and they called the wrong people up for like best.
So when they do an Interview with a Vampire, how come nobody said, "Oh my God, they made a mistake"? Or Sex in the City, right?
In the City, yeah.
The same one's huge, because the Sex in the City one, and I forget whose video it is. You know, I have it on my playlist. I grabbed it not that long ago, but they have so much residue on it from a few award shows where the actress and Sarah Jessica Parker from Sex in the City, Sex in the City, Sex in the City, Sex in the City. They say it over and over and over. Like, how could you think all these people are mistaken and we're also mistaken? That just doesn't make any sense. We may not be able to explain what's causing what's going on, you know, but it's definitely happening. I mean, we've got so much. Look at the stuff you got, Nathaniel, and look at all the stuff you put on your website. I mean,
it's crazy because, I mean, to have, like, spelling mistakes proliferate, like, this is not a game of broken telephone, right? People who write articles have editors, and then editors have proofreaders, and, I mean, and even, too, if you're going to be putting an ad into a paper, it's something I work with. I work with some companies doing a lot of print ads for, like, Barilla, which makes pasta and stuff. Right. And to put an ad in a paper costs like thousands of dollars. To hire a designer costs, like, again, that's a lot of money. Right. So it's an investment. You have a lot of like project managers who are nervous. There's a lot of eyes who have to sign off of. And if you're working with a big company, like, say, when we worked for Yahoo or Samsung, all the ads we made have to go through legal. So legal looks through to make sure everything, the legalese is right. The statements we're making aren't, like, illegal and stuff like that, right? So, and then to top it off, once it gets into the paper, because it's multiple $1,000 investment, the paper wants to make sure you're getting a return on it. So you have to sign off on a proof, right? So you can't actually get your, and if you don't sign off on a proof, then they're not liable for any of the mistakes that are made, right? So when you present an ad, the ads, you give them to the paper. It's not like the paper is making ads for you. It's like you're, so you have to sign off and say, yes, like, that is, you know, everything's right. So most of the ads you see have been signed off because it's part of the process. Like, there's checks and balances to make sure spelling mistakes don't usually make it into final products, especially where ads go, because it's so much money, right? It'd be such a waste of money just to be. So I just want to go through Charles Schulz, because here's the thing. I grew up with Charles Schulz. I used to love drawing. That was my, like, Charles Schulz, Jim Davis. Those were, like, the two guys I was really into. He always had the T. Charles Schulz. Nowadays, if you go look it up, he doesn't have the T. He's just Charles Schulz without the T. And again, another article straight through with the T. I wanted to show you guys, again, Charles Schulz with the figments of his imagination. Here's Snoopy. Here's what the crazy thing. There are, I know I haven't collected them all, but I've seen thousands of Peanuts in the syndicated form. So it's, like, in newspapers all across America and Canada or wherever. But what's nuts is when he's credited, his name is still Charles Schulz, spelled with a T-Z. Now, if you go look at reality or history, I put in quotes, he never had the T-Z. And I could show you, like, hundreds of these comics. I mean, if you look on the side here, you can see he signed his name. There's no T in his signature, right? Like, that's, again, the discrepancy between the thing that we remember, Charles Schulz, and, like, the new reality, cartoonist Charles Schulz. And some of these I'm going to scroll to because they're for his, like, obituary, right? And it's like, can you imagine, like, being the guy who writes Charles Schulz at his desk where he drew Peanuts? He died Saturday night. And, well, how insensitive are you, right? Like, I think there's another one coming up here that's, I'm just skipping through some of these, like, once you've seen one, you've seen 100, like, here, Charles Schulz says goodbye. This is his final
they're going to mess that up.
When he retired from doing his syndicated comics, like, he wrote this little letter, like, dear friends, like, you would mess up his, like, farewell speech. Like, it's just the silliest thing. So I'm just scrolling through, again, just to show you, Schulz appears many, many times over and over again with his name. And this is not just from one newspaper. This is from, like, I probably would have to go into newspaper.com to tell you which newspapers, but it's from any year.
It's all over the place.
All over the place. Exactly.
The place.
So, you know, that's a big one for me.
His signature showed without the T, the signature next to it, right?
Yeah, again, here, the signature without the T, Schulz. Because I remember his books would always have part of his identity was he'd sign Charles M. Schulz under the cover of all his Peanuts books, right? And so it's something you look at as a kid. It's just weird to see it without the T. Here, I'm going to, like, wrap up the Charles Schulz. That may or may not resonate with some people in the audience. And I think that's one thing that I'd like to iterate here too, is that a lot of these changes are almost like an individuated process, right? Like, what one person might see, somebody else who's experiencing other Mandela effects might not see themselves.
Well, that's why it's good that there's so many different, not only different ones, but there's so many different categories, whether it's anatomy, geography, music, movies. There's something for everybody. So yeah, say you can't resonate because you just say you really don't remember, then don't make a decision if that's a Mandela effect or if it's not. If you don't really don't remember, just be honest. Hey, I really don't remember. What else you got? And we'll and then, you know, we'll show you other ones, you know, because there's just so many. I mean, so many. Right. I'm asking one question, Nathaniel, before we move on. So I in my opinion, the people like Charles Schultz, who's signing his name and his name's changed, Sally Fields, these people are oblivious to it, in my opinion. I don't think they're in on it or anything. But what if there is even something to be in on, quote unquote, you know what I mean?
Right.
But what do you think about people like, you know, about the Brendan Urie story?
I haven't heard that one. No.
The lead singer of Panic at the Disco, his song changed.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. And I saw him interviewing with, where he remembers it the way everybody else remembers it. But now his recorded piece
comes straight up and blames it on the Mandela effect. Did you take that as a sincere comment by him? But do you think that was kind of mocking it? I don't really get a good read on him. What do you think about that?
Well, again, we're talking about things that resonate with you. Like, I don't listen to Panic at the Disco. I'm really into music, mind you. Like, I've got my own things I've noticed. Like, my favorite band used to be Sisters of Mercy. They're now called The Sisters of Mercy. And I could tell you, as a DJ, I've been playing their tracks for 20 years. They were never The Sisters of Mercy, right? So that Panic at the Disco, I've seen him on radio interviews talking about how he came up calling it a Mandela effect. I don't know if he, like he said, a shill or if he's in on it. It might be genuine. Like, for instance, like I said, the Portrait of Dorian Gray, I've done a book cover for that. I went to look for it, and now it's called The Picture of Dorian Gray. Yes. You know what I mean? So it's changed on me. Something that I've created has changed.
Yeah, I mean, if people were like a shill, I mean, who would they even be shilling for, first of all? I mean, who's cutting their check? Because I think it's something spiritual anyways. But I just want to know what your opinion is on him. Like, do you think he's being sincere about that? And what about, you know about Sinbad, I'm sure. And
yeah,
Sinbad.
Well, here's the thing, right? I mean, you can't... in a public setting, I can imagine it's very difficult for somebody to admit this kind of thing because it opens up a whole other can of worms, like how mentally fit is Sinbad or like dude from, you know, Panic at the Disco. I think like even I hear like Sally Fields, like I had noticed the people calling her Fields for years, right? And it can kind of confuse her. But you can't just come out and say like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Because it does call into question, like, you know, somebody's like ability to rationalize or do critical thinking or be like a sane, you know,
that you're living in a different timeline or a parallel universe. So they need to question the whole reality and you're already in the spotlight. I mean, they're going to blast you on every type of talk show there is. I get that. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to like, again, we're looking at like cool residual. So Charles Schultz, again, like hundreds of these comics, I'd have to show them all to you, but a big change for me was the JCPenney. And for some who may not know the JCPenney, I just want to show them kind of this. Now, JCPenney is kind of like the anchor store for a lot of American malls, or at least it used to be, right? We didn't have JCPenney's really in Canada. But, I mean, again, going back to my profession, I have to look at logos. I look at rebrands. It's something that I study. In 2011, they changed the JCPenney to just, I think, the acronym JCP, and they put it into a square, right? And I remember them looking at the case studies of those. There's a website I go to called Brand New that, like, it's always showcased new branding, especially for large companies like JCPenney. That is a billion-dollar company, right? And then in 2013, they got rid of the square and reverted back to the JCPenney logo. At that time, 2013, in my mind, it was still spelled like the currency, like a JCPenney, P-E-N-N-Y. It wasn't until recently that, to me, it changed to penny with an E-Y, right? On this image, I just wanted to show you, this is a comparison between, as I found, like, in situ, in the 70s, in the 80s, in the 90s, and even in the 2000s, as a comparison, just to show you the two layouts. This is JCPenney with the E-Y. Yeah. And in another newspaper, same year, JCPenney spelled without the EY, right? Here's a comparison, JCPenney with the EY, I love your style. That was, they've gone through a number of slogans once again, there's a paper trail. You can go online and find out, like, you know, what. And then, of course, here, JCPenney with a little registered mark, I love your style, again, from the same era. So, JCPenney, right? I would not expect to go online and be able to find any kind of JCPenney, like adverts from the company itself, because it just blows my mind. Once again, we talked about the checks and balances, that like the proofs you have to go through, right? To get this into publication, I could imagine the poor guy being fired, right? Like, but there are, and JCPenney is an exception. There's something like 100,000 JCPenney matches, most of them actually from the company itself. So it's not, you know, once again, journalists misquoting. Here's an ad for JCPenney carpet cleaners. JCPenney they were a larger organization, but they also had a number of smaller offshoots to JCPenney. They did auto repair, they did hairstyling. They got a little too big, you know, but again, JCPenney, and they also have a JCPenney card. So you can have a Visa card, MasterCard, American Express. This kind of stuff where the JCPenney card spelled wrong would not pass legal. Like,
right.
There'd be so many problems with that. Like, it's just, right. We can go through JCPenney, I love your style. Again, a JCPenney ad. Again, you're looking smarter than ever, JCPenney, and charge it to the JCPenney card.
Look how much of this there is. And I know you could do this for any of these. You could go on and on and on forever. Like, there's so much. Like, to think, it's not like we're finding one. I know we already said this. It's not like we're finding one or two JCPenneys with the way we remember and say, and they could be misprints and we're saying, oh, this is what it was. It's like this actually, in most cases, like you said, there's actually more of the way we remember in these newspapers than the way that it's supposed to be now.
Absolutely. It doesn't look like a one-off typo because we've seen some of the ads where it's JCPenney throughout, right? It's like this was a deliberate decision. And then again, like look at something like this, right? Like the JCPenney with the registered mark and the website, www.jcpenney.com, right? With the store hours, like, yeah, you know, here, I'll just skip that one. JCPenney Auto Center. I'm just going to go through these really quickly just to give you a sense of just the sheer volume of these. And again, these are just JCPenney ads from JCPenney itself. So Mount Pleasant's JCPenney, JCPenney, Clearfield. This is interesting. This is like JCPenney. I guess they're selling like washer disher dishwasher. Yeah, there you go. So JCPenney. This was an advert for their new JCPenney locations, right? There's, I think, 8 locations, but it's spelled the way we remember it with more or less the same logo. They were just using, I don't know, something like Helvetica. It's a font, but I mean, that's the way it was. This custom decorating the JCPenney way, JCPenney days, the headline at the bottom, JCPenney, fashion comes to life. You know? Okay. And once again, multiple times, right? Parking for JCPenney lower levels and catalog is specifically designated for our customers during construction. JCPenney, Haywood Mall. JCPenney, Father's Day sale. This is crazy too. Like at the bottom, it's for the JCPenney catalog and it's bring in this coupon. We'll take $10 off any JCPenney catalog order.
Wow. It's a mix. Yeah. The ones with the mix are crazy. And that's just such an obvious one. The people that want to say the and the, as much as we know, we wouldn't mix it up. Okay. We're talking about what is it? A preposition or whatever you call those little words being right. Switched out. Even though it's in a title, it wouldn't happen. But this is a word being, not only a word being spelled wrong, you know, it's a word being spelled the way it's not normally spelled because people would normally spell the word penny without an E if they weren't using it in the sense of the term of the company. So I don't know. It's just crazy to me. I don't know.
And here's the thing. People will say, well, hey, it was never JCPenney as a currency because if you look, JCPenney is named after a guy, right? It's James Cash Penny. And if you were to go right now and look at his grave, it would say P-E-N-N-E-Y. Wow. Right, and that's fair enough. It's true. His name has changed, which is why the company's name has changed. But on the same token, there exist just as many ads for James Cash Penny spelled like the currency as I remember it, almost as much as there are for like the actual store. James Cash Penny was often used as, here's a guy who apparently went bankrupt well, and even went into like a a mental institute and came out and was able to kind of rebound and build his empire and turn JCPenney into like this billion-dollar thing. So his name is usually often used like in these aspirational stories, right? But James Cash Penny for me was always spelled with the P-E-N-N-Y. Again, here's another ad for JCPenney. And there's like, how many JCPenneys can you cram into one ad? JCPenney custom decorating notice, right? And again, this is, so here's people quibbling over like, you know, money or, you know, the car, you know, advertised for $100 off is not available in Bloomingbird the third. Sincere apologies, JCPenney, right? But they don't, you won't find a notice later on saying like, sorry, by the way, we misspelled the company name last issue or whatever, wherever this was found. JCPenney catalog.
You know what I again, think? Kind of mm-hmm. weird though that there's residue out there. That's what kind of stumps me.
That's what we think, that we can't be just jumping timelines, because wouldn't everybody, especially the different Mandela effects, because we don't all agree on all of them. I think for those of us that are aware of it, like very much so, like the three of us, we probably agree on a high percentage, like, you know, maybe 80% or whatever, but it's never 100%. And there's some big ones I disagree with. I just think, you know, if it was it's something more spiritual, because if it was just like us, I guess timeline would be spiritual too, but if we were jumping from timeline to timeline, how would we not see the exact same Mandela effects 100% across the board if that jump is what was causing us to see a change?
Well, that's just it. And I think one thing that's become clear as I'm doing a lot of research is that it's looking, I think we have to stop thinking of like parallel universes, like let's call it like an aquarium, right? Or a self-contained bucket, because I think each individual item, depending on kind of like the frequency of the person, almost interacts as the observer. Some people will see JCPenney with the EY and some will see it as the currency, because there are some Mandela effects where it's not just, we're talking about like two different varieties. Like for instance, Chick-fil-A is also, like some people know it's chick, like as in spelled chic, C-H-I-C, fillet, whereas others also remembered as spelling chick, C-H-I-K, fillet, right? So right there's like three sample pools for the same.
Pastinos too, Nathaniel, remember?
Yeah, that's right.
Thinker and the Statue of Liberty. I mean, there's been like 10 things going on with the Statue of Liberty. I mean, it's changing every friggin' week. It's whatever. I don't know. I mean, we don't know what it is, but we know that this is happening. So anybody that's still skeptical of this, I mean, definitely look at Nathaniel's site too, which we'll talk a little bit about in a minute. But that'll be linked in show notes too, because you got a ton of residue there, Nathaniel. When did you stop putting that together? Is anybody else helping you out with that?
I had Josh Speed kind of like prompt me to put it together. He's another guy. He's in some of the Mandela boards, and he has a lot of like interesting ideas as to like the how this is happening, right? So some people might say, okay, well, those are a handful of like typos that happened in the 70s. But if we go back to the JCPenney Co.'s history, right, like with our ads from like turn of the century, that throughout the entire ad, the Golden Rule store is becoming the JCPenney Incorporated. Why? And it goes on explaining about the JCPenney Co.'s. Every single instance in these old ads is the JCPenney. it's crazy because it's like we can find, and again, here's where JCPenney spelled EY Co., you know, that's what it is now. But if you look at like JCPenney, P-E-N-N-Y, and the rest of the ad, again, Penny occurs the way we remember it. So the residuals are very interesting. We can debate why they linger. I think it's something kind of like what we saw with the residuals of those kids sitting in front of the statue, right? Where the original logo will change, but everything that's kind of referencing it that isn't the original, it's like captions and things, remain the same.
Songs in the movies, if you do a parody on The Simpsons or Family Guy, the parodies remain, but the official merchandise and the official movies and stuff change. Same with the music. When you're looking for music, I've never thought that research in this topic was going to make me spend so many hours researching shitty cover bands.
No, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. Yeah. If you guys don't mind, I mean, I could continue with some of these. Like, we're just touching on, again, either changes. You know, I might actually skip ahead because I think some of the big ones are like the DEA and the Smithsonian. I just want to touch on this really quickly because again, like anchor memories, it's like, well, how do you remember it so well, right? Like, and for each individual person, they have, you know, a story usually like from their childhood or something. I used to post on Facebook. I wasn't using my real name. I used to post under this pseudonym Phineas Essomine. I grabbed the name Phineas because he used to be the main character for Around the World in 80 Days by Jules Verne, right? Now, if you go look at it nowadays, his name actually apparently has always been Phileas Fogg, which I know isn't true. My URL on Facebook still says Phineas, and I made that decision because I was looking at the time for sort of like really stuffy Victorian names, and to me that was like, God, he's such a stuffy Victorian, right? And again, looking at the residuals, there's Phineas Fogg written like everywhere, like in reviews of the movies, reviews of the books, like Phineas. It's like, if you're going to misspell Phileas, that has an L, maybe an honest typo would be like two L's, but why change a Phil into a Finn, right? Like, here again, Phineas Fogg for his horn. Foghorn.
Somebody in the chat, Salted Cedar, has a question for you. He wants to ask you, what do you think about the plane engines? If they seem right to you?
No, well, the plane engines don't seem right to me. And again, I used to play a lot of flight simulators. Like, they used to have like those Microsoft, like, and they were boring flight simulators, but they were just like, you'd fly a commercial jet from, I don't know, New York to Florida, and you'd like, hey, you know, but the engines, it was a flight simulator where like the physics and like the models were pretty accurate, and seeing the engine so far ahead of the wing, that's new to my eyes.
Mechanical engineering disaster. It's like, how are they even supported dangling out in front of the engines? And it looks so ridiculous. It's funny, there's a GIF I made for this,
right?
And it's literally just showing the plane. You know, you got to view out the window and you see the wing and you see where the engine is, and it's right. Going forward. Shift because what your eye is so used to, it looks like the plane's going backwards because of the placement of the engine.
Yeah, I agree. That one, it was strange. But once again, some people resonate with it, some don't. It's likely those who don't could very well innocently be from native to this universe that, like, for whatever reason, they made a decision to move the physics change and they move the engines ahead. You know. I just wanted to go back on that one. Where did that go? Stop.
What are these cartoons you're showing?
So this is crazy. Here's the thing. This was a Hanna-Barbera cartoon that I think went on for like a year. It starred, and if you go on IMDb, his name is still Phineas Fogg Jr., a.k.a. Finney. It's the continuing adventures of Around the World in 80 Days, starring the son of Phineas Fogg. But, I mean, the guy's name is Phineas Fogg Jr. When you name somebody Jr., you keep the same name. And you don't change it, right? Otherwise, he wouldn't be Junior. He'd be, you know, Phileas Fogg Jr. But anyways.
What year was this? I've never even
heard of this. What year? You know what? It was a one-off. I'll have to find out IMDb, but I think if I had to guess, 73 or 74. And it was part of a larger show that had, I never liked the Hanna-Barbera crap. So it had like cats and I think a couple of talking monkeys. I don't know. But they did have this smaller bit in here that had, again, Phineas Fogg. As one of the characters, and his name is all through IMDb. Just look it up if you want to follow through with that. The Phineas Frog, right? It's a pun. And again, Around the World with Phineas Frog. If you're gonna do like a joke, at least get his first name right.
Wow. You know what I mean?
And yeah, there's like all sorts of things. Like a big one. Who watched Breaking Bad? Right.
Oh, this one's huge. This one's huge. I mean, everybody knows this one. Everybody I grew up with. Nobody would ever go ahead. Would ever call this now.
You know, I watch Breaking Bad. Uncle Hank. Uncle Hank worked for the DEA at some point, right? He's working with the DEA. The DEA. I don't. And now I'm kind of curious to go revisit Breaking Bad to see if the dialogue has changed. But Uncle Hank always worked for the Drug Enforcement Agency. Again, my dad locally worked at some point with a drug squad, so I've been exposed to the Drug Enforcement Agency. If you go look at the actual history now, and some people say, don't look at the wiki pages because they could be edited. Okay, don't look at those. They actually go to the DEA website into their about section.
That's right.
The Drug Enforcement Agency is now the Drug Enforcement Administration, and it's always been that way since 1973, when I think it was Nixon who put it into action, right? Now, here we're going to go through a number of articles where, again, who is helping out agencies involved in Thursday's drug bust? The first one here, of course, the Drug Enforcement Agency, right? Mm-hmm. Here are some U.S. Customs and Drug Enforcement Agency officials yesterday displaying some of their, you know, cocaine they discovered and some apples. Again, this is from the Associated Press. They're here's an association that banks the reputation on being, you know, truthful, or at least, you know, as close to reality 100% of the time. This is crazy. This is the director of the Drug Enforcement Agency, Asa. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Hutchinson, director of the U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency. You know, what's on Monday, guys? This is October, you know, in 2000. It's the Drug Enforcement Agency operative is shown guarding narcotics, right? So
anybody call it the administration. And even when I post these things on my wall sometimes, and
right.
I ask it in a question way where I don't say Mandela effect. You know how you have to frame it for people. Mm-hmm. And I'll say, you know, what's the acronym stand for? What does DEA stand for? People think it's almost a trick question. Like, what are you, an idiot? Like, right. When I say, we're South America, you know what I mean? What do you mean, we're South America? So when I say, what's DEA stand for? Dude, like, every single one that replied said Drug Enforcement Agency.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, here's a photo. It's very important if you have like things circulating that you like kind of list your sources 100%. So this came from the Associated Press and the Drug Enforcement Agency. And so this photo, released Tuesday by the Drug Enforcement Agency, shows a text message used by one student to advertise drug sales. Right. And again, you've seen one. We're not showing like sort of like a drop like in the ocean. There's like thousands of these ads and these articles about the Drug Enforcement Agency.
Keep showing more of these. But on your next one, do you think you could show Smithsonian you were going to talk about? Because people brought that up in the chat too, and that's a big
one. I'm going to go right into the Smithsonian because, again, I don't watch much TV, but I used to watch this show called Bones. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that. It had what's-his-face from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, David Boreanaz. Essentially, they work at the Smithsonian Institute doing like forensic research, right? And so they mentioned the Smithsonian Institute often in the show. Now, the Smithsonian Institute is like, they used to call it, I want to get it verbatim. They used to call it the America's Attic, right? Because it contained all this cool cultural stuff that like defines America, right? And everybody knows it's the Smithsonian Institute. Now, it's apparently been always called the Smithsonian Institution since its inauguration in 1846. There's a paper trail. It was never called Institute, right? Right now, that's a schism for me. Let's just hop right into that.
The Smithsonian Institution, I mean, it doesn't even roll off the tongue at all. It just sounds so awkward to me. It's totally wrong.
It's totally wrong. So here, check this out. This is from, I don't know who the Yazoo Herald is, but again, just to show you, it's a recent article. It's not, we're not digging things from the 70s or from our childhood. It's like, you know, it's fresh. 2011, right? So it's an A to Z for kids to learn shit. So here they're showing, in this photo, the Smithsonian headquarters in Washington, D.C., here they're showing James Smithsonian, founder of the Smithsonian Institute. Here's this whole bit about the Smithsonian Institute, and they're essentially talking about the Smithsonian Institute is a network of museums and research educational institutes that is managed by the U.S. United States government. Again, Smithsonian, true or false. The Smithsonian Institute does not conduct any research, true or false. The Smithsonian Institute is often called, again, here, America's Attic, because so many of American artifacts are stored there. So it's like, this is educational for children. They've dropped the ball in every instance of the word, right? This poor lady, she got a job, MU student land summer job at the Smithsonian Institute, right?
Way to the right building, because that's not what it's called.
And again, I see a lot of these, like the Smithsonian's Institute. The Smithsonian Institute was founded because of, you know, on bequest of James Smithsonian. So, you know, here it is, the United States of America to found at Washington under the name of the Smithsonian Institute, an establishment for the blah, 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 blah. Again, never was called Institute. Around here, it's called Institution since its inception again in 1846. And again, you'll find tons of these headlines that are like, you know, showcasing a lot of, I guess, museum shows and stuff that come through. So a list of portraits gives honors at the Smithsonian Institute. The Smithsonian Institute. Let's find some more that are kind of fun. Yeah, the Smithsonian Institute may get first machine from England. Cool. All right. Oh, yeah, they got the Wright plane.
Yeah. I mean, it's only the first airplane, supposedly. So, yeah, no big deal. We don't know the name of the place that it's stored.
Right. Here, local silent film newspaper filed in the Smithsonian Institute. Ah, weird, right? Historic relics from Fort whatever. Ligonier presented to the Smithsonian Institute. Yeah, here's, you know, Smithsonian Institute exhibit. Here's a bunch of photo collections that are coming to, oh, first line. There are some people at the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C. who live in the past. True. Of course, yeah, it just blows my mind. It's so dumb. So here's some of the co-founders, right? So at the Smithsonian Institute, here's all these co-founders, blah, 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 blah. And unfortunately, I got the screen sharing in the way, but they mentioned the Smithsonian Institute again. So these are some of the founders of the Institute, which once again is an institution. Mind blowing. And again, this is something that like resonates with me. If you don't know the Smithsonian Institute or institution, that's okay. But there's a paper trail, hard physical evidence.
Yeah. Huge. And that's why when people say, you know, the Mandela, it's like, I love the t-shirt that Brian had made, something about, you know, if you think the Mandela effect is a psyop or whatever, explain the residue. Like,
right.
I mean, come on. I mean, look, and it's not, like I said, it's not one or two things in the past, maybe misprinted that we got our hands on. It's not, it's like there is so much of it. And in many cases, it's actually the majority of stuff, which is even crazier. I mean, some of them, it's just like, I mean, there's so much residue for stuff like you're showing or even stuff like C-3PO with the gold, all gold. I mean, there's just so much for some of these things. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think statistically, it at least proves that something is happening, whatever you want to call it, whatever that happening is. You can, you know, theorize all you like. But so we're talking about things that resonate with me, right? Like Hass avocados. To me, the Hass avocado is like the king of the avocado pile, right? It's like the best one. I did a while back, there's something called the 100 mile challenge, right? Where you, it's something that my wife and I did. We tried to eat local food sourced only within 100 miles from us. And when I was at the time living in Toronto, unfortunately, it's too far north. There are no avocados. I was gutted, right? I'm like, oh, I love that shit. So I was sad that we couldn't get Hass avocados. There was a an exception to the rule. If you go on vacation, you can still eat stuff within 100 miles of wherever you go on vacation. So I went to San Francisco during this time. And I was like, yes, because I could actually eat Hass avocados because you have little like abuelos like on the street corner just selling Hass avocados with signs, you know? Now,
you thought you found a knockoff?
Yeah, buy knockoffs. To those who don't know the changes, Hass avocados to me, it was like, if I remember correctly, it's a guy named Rudolf Hass who in the 20s discovered on his property this weird avocado growing and he kind of patented it under his name. I think he's Dutch because it's got the double A. I'm assuming these are assumptions. I'm just letting you know what I know and don't know, right? But I've always ever seen it spelled with two A's because it's unusual. You stop and say, oh, Hass avocados. Nowadays, if you go look it up, Rudolf Hass has always been spelled H-A-S-S. So there's actual ass in the spelling, which is something that I've never noticed in
like
avocados and toast. There's no ass, right? Like, so they're just like, again, according to history, Hass, this double A thing never existed. But there are like, you know, tens of thousands of ads. Yeah.
And there's never been a name change for the people that still aren't getting the whole product thing. There's never been a recorded name change. It's never been what you're showing us.
It's a generic brand, right?
Yeah, well, it's a generic brand. This is interesting because, again, this is a biopic about the Hass variety was discovered by a postman, Rudolf Hass, spelled with two A's, in Florida. That's kind of what I was talking about earlier. Interestingly enough, Hass patented the variety under his name in 1935. Now, if you're writing articles like this, chances are somebody's done research, right? again, this is another, what do you call it? Article, Avocado Quality. So they're talking about this California postman, Rudolph Hass. He's the namesake who discovered the Hass variety spelled with two A's. Again, you know, I always point them out. Hass, named for Rudolph Hass. Right? So this is the butterfly effect. This is where the things are changing. This is interesting. This is from the Avocado Commission of California, according to the Californian Avocado Commission. So this is information from people who take pride in the fruits they're making, right? The original Hass tree was a mistake. A lucky chance seedling in the late 1920s, Rudolph Hass, a postman, purchased the seedlings and then he goes on to discover it on a property. And then, you know, these are, you know, then you have people just selling Hass avocados. They should know better. Hass avocados, right in the headline. Hass, they even put little umlauts, right? Like how pretentious, like geez. Hass avocados, a recipe again for three large Hass avocados. So yeah, you know, for people who think it might just be something that we're misremembering, well, there's a paper trail. There's actual physical evidence.
And a lot of the physical evidence is, like you said, people that are paying big money to advertise in newspapers and whatnot.
Exactly.
Like, it's not just people on Facebook or something. You know what I mean? Even though there's a lot of people. Yeah.
On Facebook, and if you're making, like, you know, the typos on Twitter, like, you're not beholden to, like, shareholders or people who have invested a lot of money. So it's not your job to spell it right, right? And then you don't have editors, you don't have proofreaders, you don't have, like, all those other, like checks and balances in place.
You got autocorrect.
Yeah, that's your one thing that's kind of like you're crutching on nowadays, right?
That gets me a lot because a lot of the words like we talked about, it's crazy to me.
Oh, hey, sorry. I didn't see this. I apparently, one of my residuals now says Hass with an A-S-S.
Oh, it changed on you.
Yeah, that's weird. I'm going to have to go look at that.
Oh, wow.
Huh.
That is crazy. That is crazy.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Nathaniel, why don't we pick it up for a few and we'll come back to showing some more residuals.
Yeah, no worries. I'm going to give you back the screen. Let me know if you got it.
Yeah, I got it now. I just want to mix it up. Give Gloria, give you a chance to lead here. Is my camera glitching? Oh, that was his. And I want to get – I know Gloria has some new ones she wants to get into, and I'm pretty sure you probably got some newer ones for our audience that is more versed in Mandela.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe we can do some of those real quick, and then we'll go back to some more older classic ones.
Sounds good. Just to
mix it up. Gloria.
I was going to say, Gloria, I'll give you the chart. I'm going to be back in 2 seconds, so feel free to carry on without me.
Okay.
No, I was going to say he was talking about the Hass avocados. It just, I don't know, just H-A-S-S, I don't know, just ass with you, I can't, whatever. Yeah, we're going on a break, right?
Oh, we weren't going on a break.
I knew we were going on a break. No, because actually, I was talking to Paul. I was talking to Paul, and, you know, he's got to find that window to come in, and he's like, you got to say something. I'm like, okay, we're talking about Hass, avocado, ass, let's see, Brian, tits and ass, so I said, throw something in there.
Oh, here we go, come on.
I'm sorry. I had to do it for Paul. We got to do it for our brother. Yes, thing. I got to see if he's out. Oh, wow. I got booted off.
Yeah, you're out of control. Do you need a break? Do you want to take a couple minute break while he's doing whatever he's doing and get a drink or whatever?
We'll wait for him to come back. This way he knows we're going on a break because this is going to get real crazy after the break. We got a lot of freaky ones to talk about. So we'll wait for him to come back.
All right. Well, we can just launch the break. When he comes back, I can just tell him real quick. It's not a big deal. Let me just tell the audience real quick. That'll buy him a little more time. I'm going to tell them what we're going to do. Yeah, what we're going to do, guys, is we're going to get into some new ones. Gloria has some. I have some. Pretty sure Nathaniel has some. And oh, Nathaniel's back. So if we, Gloria, do you need a break? If not, well, we won't even take one.
I'm fine. I'm good.
All right. Well, yeah. So I was just telling the audience what we're going to do, Nathaniel. We're going to do some new ones that Gloria has, that I have, that you probably have. I want to address some of the older music ones, and then maybe we can bounce back to some more residuals that you want to show, some more screen shares or whatever. Perfect. Is that cool? Do you still have more you want to show?
Yeah, I mean, but by all means, Gloria, grab the reins, because I'm curious to see some new ones, right? Yeah.
We could stay on here for 5 hours. I'm not going anywhere. I got chips. I'm good to go.
So, Gloria, we haven't been on the air in 2 weeks. We took last week off. We tend to talk a little bit about Mandela every show, whether it's Mandela, NASA, you know, all the other topics you talk about, but it tends to happen every show. In 2 weeks, been a bunch that have come up that have kind of shocked you. What do you want to get into? What are some of the big new ones?
There's one that I want to talk about. Maybe Nathaniel would notice one, because when I ran it by you, Brian, you weren't too sure. Okay, and the chat, whoever's in the chat, I wanted to ask, do you guys remember the movie with Nicolas Cage, The Knowing?
See, I don't know that one offhand.
Okay.
I haven't seen it, so.
Know that one, so, because it's not The Knowing anymore, it's just Knowing.
Oh, cute, yeah.
Which is like, let's just see Knowing. Doesn't even make sense, right? Mm. Yeah, it's longer than Knowing. So I just want to see, for anybody in the chat, like, I'm curious, The Salted Cedar, if he's ever seen that movie before. Yeah, because, you know, it's kind of weird, because you have a lot of the S's falling off and going to different words, and you have a lot of the leaving, mm-hmm. right? So it's kind of weird that doesn't even make sense. But we can get into the other ones, Brian, whenever you want. I just want to throw that one out there.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know you have a few you want to get into. There's one I want to address real quick, Gloria, if you don't mind.
And then
you
can
before I lose my train of thought on it. And anybody out there that's got the kids around, okay, well, there is going to be some cussing here, because I'm going to recite a Tupac song that's changed. Uh-huh. And it's the most popular diss track where he's going off against – Biggie and Puff Daddy and all these guys, and it's called Hit 'Em Up. For anybody that knows Tupac, you all know this song. Again, there's going to be some cussing here for a second. Let me turn my camera on. So at the end of the song, there's a part where he goes, all y'all motherfuckers, fuck you, die slow, motherfucker, blah, 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 blah. And then he goes, out here in California, nigga, we warned you, we'll bomb on you motherfuckers. We do our job. You think you the mob. Nigga, we the motherfucking mob. And now the word the is gone from mob, and he just says, if you think you mob, and then he says, we the motherfucking mob. The word the is gone. So that's a big one for me. I know that doesn't resonate with a lot of people that don't listen to rap music from the 90s or whatever, of course. But there are a lot of people that listen to my show that probably do. I'd say maybe half do, half don't, or whatever. You guys will resonate with that if you guys know the lyrics to it. But that's my biggest one for the week, but there are other ones we'll talk about. But Gloria, what are a couple of the ones you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, all right. I want to throw in, and then we'll go to Nat. Hey, do you want me to do a Bible verse, or do you want me to do a Mandanimal?
No, no.
Bible verses.
Say that again. I didn't hear either one of you.
I like Bible verses. I find that the Mandanimals are difficult, because it's like, are you sure? You know what I mean? There's always that gray area.
There's a really big one. Trust me.
All right.
A really big one. But we'll save that for last if Brian wants to do it.
Some of the big Bible ones.
Yeah, the Bible to me, you know, the other night I was laying in bed and I took out the book and I really I read this thing for hours and hours, and I start getting a headache. I come across Mark. And this is the King James Bible, Mark 13:18. I'm not reading the whole verse. I'm just reading what's important. Okay. Mark 13:18 in the King James Bible. And pray ye that your flight be not in winter. Your flight? Come on. Does anybody remember flight being in the King James Bible? So they had planes or ships, airships?
Yeah, there's so many words that don't fit the timeline, that don't fit the time that the book would have been written, you know? And we can dispute when the books are really written or whatnot, but we know they've even at least been around a lot longer than...
Yeah, but even when the King James Version came out, there was no such thing as...
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter. And a big one for me, let's see, that I had... This one, and I looked up all the other Bible, like the New American Standard and stuff like that, and they have different words. And God said, let there be lights.
In plural?
Yeah, it lights. Now, it's in all the other Bibles, it says, so the King James Bible, Genesis 1:14:9, and God said, let there be lights. And the
Really? Just like with the word earth is earths and light is lights now?
Yeah. And let there be, and let, wait, I can't see this. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. Lights, that's supposed to be lamps. Now, if you look that up, it's supposed to be lamps. And then you got Acts 28. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they gathered together. There were many lights.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy. Do you want me to do another one or you want to go to something else? Somebody else?
Oh, keep going.
Do a few.
Okay. Yeah, the one that I really want, let me see, I have them all marked down. Let's see. This is Numbers 33:52. Like I said, I'm not reading the whole thing because the thou shall, how, ain't going to happen. Okay. Let's see. Land before you and destroy all their pitchers. The pitchers should be stones, like figures of stones, sculptures like that, not pitchers, and destroy all their molten images. Molten images. Okay. So they have the word pitches in the Bible. I came across the word mortgaged, leased, penny. Oh, this is a good one. Cosby is now in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And that's in Numbers 25:18. We have pen, paper. Yeah. Ink is now in the Bible.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a lot of. Oh, this one. Let's see. Maybe it's this one. We got Hebrew 11:3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The worlds. Is your S's guy. Did you know we had world?
Multiple. Yeah, we do now.
Yeah, that's crazy. And the other thing too, again, for people that might just be tuning in, it's not a case of us, you know, not seeing the S before, and it's always been there, because it's like even your own books are changing. And the funny thing is, like with the Bible ones that I like a lot, is some of the people will approach like a minister or a pastor and ask them something like the lion and the lamb, for instance. And they'll ask them about Isaiah 11:6, and they'll say, oh yeah, I've been reading it for years. I've been teaching it at sermons, this and that. It's the lion with the lamb. Then they'll have them go get the Bible, and it's changed. And then it's like the person just goes into denial mode usually, almost every time.
Yeah. Let's see. We have Hebrews 11:34. Out of weakness, we made strong. Wax in flight. Again, the word flight. Turn to flight the armies of aliens.
Aliens?
Yeah, turn to flight the army of aliens. Yeah. The word Jupiter is now in the Bible. We have Acts 19:35. And when the town clerk, the town clerk is one word.
Interesting.
Town clerk is one word. And then you have, let's see. You have bank in the Bible, Luke 19:23.
There's a lot of about money now and bank finance and stuff like that. It seems.
Yeah, and debtors, eh? Forgive us, or those who trespass against us, but the debtors is a new one in the one of the Bible changes. I mean, the New Testament has a lot of books. I grew up in a Roman Catholic neighborhood, so the one that always kind of excited us in high school was the Book of Revelations, and the Book of Revelations was always in plural, right? There was not just a single revelation. It was the Book of Revelations. But if you look at the title now, it's just called singular, the Book of Revelation.
Actually, the King James with the Book of Revelation is now the Revelation of John the Divine.
Interesting. Yeah.
I mean, Jesus was the divine. Now it's John the Divine. We have, this one is kind of weird. We have Isaiah 27:12, and this one just really cracked me up. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river onto the stream. I'm sorry, I don't know what to make of that.
beat off with a T like Terrence, or with a D like dog?
B-E-A-T, beat off.
Nice. Yep.
He's going to beat off from the channel of the river onto the stream. Yeah.
Well, yeah, the Bible's very, very much a fan. And again, guys, even I'm not a person that's ever been into the Bible. I'm not religious or anything like that. But again, there's something for everybody. There's some people that are very much into the Bible that are, you know, kind of shelter themselves from media and music, which doesn't mean that's a bad thing. You know, too much of anything is, you know, but and there's people who are in media and music and don't look at Bibles. And there's people who, you know, would notice the anatomy changes. I think the anatomy changes are very significant. It's very hard to talk about, kind of not as hard as the manned animals, because like you said, with the manned animals, there could be creatures we're not knowing. I think some of them. Out of that case, I think a lot of them are new ones popping up. But like with the anatomy changes, you know, I know everybody doesn't know their anatomy, but everybody knew about the floating ribs and everybody knew about the eye sockets. And there's some changes. They're huge. And people want to say, why is it just little things? Okay, well, now it's your body. I mean, your body has changed while you've been living your life. Like,
yeah, I like that, Brian. Yeah. Oh,
yeah, if that's not a wake-up call that your reality is changing and it's not just a psyop, I mean, that – I wish I had some friends that were doctors that were like open. It's probably very hard to find doctors that are open-minded to this sort of topic because they go through all the indoctrination and everything. I'd love to have a conversation with some that would tell me about the bones on the foot, Gloria, that have been going on now, or the knee, or the pelvis, or the heart, or the rib cage, or the eye sockets, and all this stuff. Oh, crazy.
You know, Brian, I went to nursing school, so I know a lot about the human anatomy, the bone structure and stuff. I just want to read one more so Nathaniel could hear this one.
Okay.
Nathaniel, are you ready? This is in the New Living Testament, okay? The New Living Translation, which we always thought it was a King James Bible changing, but now it's like all of them changing. This is 1 Samuel 20:30. Saul, boiled with rage at Jonathan, "You stupid son of a whore."
I like the cussing in the Bibles again, right?
That's good. Of a whore. Yeah.
The word whores in there is a lot. I mean, we brought it up on a few shows, Gloria. It's in there how many times?
Yeah, a lot. A lot. Yeah, a lot. But yeah, I mean, the list goes on and on. I have like thousands of them in here. Well, not thousands, but I have like hundreds of them in here. It's just too many.
There's so many. Nathaniel, you know any brand new ones? Because I know you're on the edge of it a lot. And I want to present some new ones for our people that kind of know all the stuff we've been talking about.
Right. So again, at some points I find a lot of these changes come almost in waves, right? Where like there's like a whole batch of new ones. And I felt like they had kind of almost trickled down a little bit, but I'm beginning to spot like brand new ones in the landscape. I'm just going to grab your screen for a sec. It's the kid from Home Alone 1 and 2. Everybody knows him.
Post it before you do the screen grab in the chat. What's the kid's name in Home Alone?
How do you spell his name? Is kind of where we're getting at.
Yeah.
Ask the chat again because you guys came over a little like crackly. You couldn't hear.
I just did. I typed it into the chat. I think everybody's gonna spell it the way we do. I'd be very surprised if it's anybody spelt it the new way. But yeah, just go ahead and get into it.
Just as a background, right? Because, I mean, he's been in the news recently because he looks like he had been like kind of strung out on crack for a while. And then he's flushed out a bit. And he's like, you know, he's an immediate prankster. And he reprised his role of Kevin in this like YouTube video where he's like obviously psychologically dealing with the fallout of him being left alone with like criminals, you know? So I've seen his name in circulation. So this is a change, I'd say, within last week. It's changed. Like, it jumped out at me immediately. So I'm going to grab your screen. Blah, blah, blah. Here we are. All right, boom. This is Macaulay Culkin, circa, I don't know, 1991, maybe earlier, don't quote me on that, but he stars in Home Alone. Macaulay Culkin, this is the way I always known him, how to spell, like to spell his name, because, right? To me, it always reminded me of like, if you're doing your tiles, you use caulking, right? And it's spelled Macaulay Culkin is how I would pronounce it, but I remember it was like the AU. Again, Macaulay Culkin makes two burglars wish they never were born. Macaulay Culkin, oh no. And we could show like tons of these. These are actual ads, like movie marquees. Again, Macaulay Culkin. Here, Home Alone 2 starring Macaulay Culkin. He was huge in the day. But nowadays, if you look up his name, he's always been Macaulay Culkin without the A. So he's just C-U-L-K-I-N. I may as well just.
It's important about him being strung out on crack lately. So not only was this like the most iconic movie for the time when we were kids growing up. I don't know how old you are, but I'm 40, so I was growing up.
Same here.
Okay, so that was a huge movie when we were kids, and it came out. It was a kid around our age, defying, you know, adults and all this. It was gigantic. But not only that, he's been in the news a lot lately with the CAU before this change that you're showing now, because he's been in the headlines because he looks like he's strung out on crack.
Exactly. I mean, I the moment I saw his name with the Kulk, again, this is I've landed on his wiki page. People can say, oh, you can edit a wiki page, but you just go anywhere on Google. It's ubiquitous, unanimously across the internet. He's Kulkin with a C-U-K-L. That's like a crazy prefix, like Kulk. Kulk, he was never a Kulk, at least for me. I mean, I could if he was a Kulk for you, that's cool.
No, I agree with you, Nathaniel. When you sent me that, I was like, no freaking way. I was like, come on. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and again, you're right. Like, he had this kind of like career breakthrough where he had been doing stuff with what are they called, like the Pizza Underground or something like that, right?
Well, they've poked fun of him everywhere, and they did. He came out recently with a huge story saying he was sexually molested, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think so, right?
I think in the last 2 years, it came out that he was sexually molested, and he made a ton of headlines for it, and it was spelled the way we remember it.
I remember.
People are really loving it in the chat, the new one. So, yeah, just whatever else you got on this, show a little more, and then let's do more.
I might just go back to the again. So, people like, oh, you know, how do you even know how to spell Macaulay Culkin? Well, you know, it's a weird name, both first and last names, right? And if you're going to be a newspaper guy and you're doing a story on this stuff, get it right. So, again, it's a review of Home Alone, Macaulay Culkin, C-A-U-L. But they've, you know, they spelled Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern and some of the other guys' names right. So it's like, they've done their homework. Here he is with Joe Pesci. He's a little fella. Macaulay Culkin. You know, Home Alone stars Joe Pesci, Macaulay Culkin, 7 p.m. NBC. Come on, guys. Little Mac is back. Macaulay Culkin's new flick. Heads of the pack of the weekend events. All right. I remember this episode of Saturday Night Live. He hosted Saturday Night Live. I remember staying up because I guess he's about my age. He was 11, so I might have been like 12 at the time, right? Here he is, Macaulay Culkin left, mimics, you know, Saturday Night Live, Rob Schneider. And again, they talk Culkin, who now stars in the new film, My Girl. Speaking of My Girl, yeah, here. I'm not familiar with her, but Macaulay Culkin, sure. That's how I remember him.
Great residue. Wow.
Yeah, once again, you know, like, oh, okay, here he is, a new comedy, My Girl, starring Macaulay Culkin. And again, they got Jamie Lee Curtis and that weird new Dan Aykroyd spelling, but that's another category.
The extra Y in there.
Yeah. Aykroyd.
Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, Macaulay Culkin, young star of Home Alone, receives 35,000 pieces of fan mail every month. I'm sure most of the people sending him letters at the time were sending it to Macaulay Culkin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he started Richie Rich, Macaulay Culkin. Yeah, True Lies. Oh, here he is with Ted Danson and getting even with that. Something I've never seen, but again, these are movie marquees, like, you know, Macaulay Culkin and Getting Even with Dad. Child star Macaulay Culkin, star of the season's biggest hit, Home Alone. Yeah, so that's a new one. I think there's a few others, but they're smaller. This was, to me, was like the biggest one that I figure would resonate with a lot of people.
That is a huge one. That's a huge one. I hadn't seen that one until you had mentioned it to me whenever it was. I think it might have been yesterday or something. You mentioned it to me or the day before. That's a big one. Yeah, that's a big one. And again, that's why we use the media ones a lot, guys, because you're gonna remember the songs and the, you know, speaking of songs, I wanna talk about the music ones for a minute. And just like with every other topic, this has subtopics too. Like, I might say some songs because they resonate with me, but if you don't know the friggin' songs, well, you don't know them. But you know what? There's going to be songs that you know that have changed that don't resonate with me because I don't know those songs. And but there are some really big ones that I would think most of this audience would know because they'd be like big 70s or 80s or 90s rock songs for the most part. Most of the people listening here are probably at least familiar, even if that wasn't their thing. I'm not going to play them because I actually made a video once with these songs, how they are now, and I made a little montage, only like 10, 15 seconds each, and YouTube took it down right away for copyright. They got me on the Prince when Doves Cry. Oh, but no. Yeah, so songs, big songs. We're not just talking little songs. Songs like Under the Bridge by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. They talk about the City of Angel now instead of the City of Angels. The entire song is written. It's about him getting high in the city of L.A. It's filmed in L.A. And what is the nickname of L.A.? It's the City of Angels. The residue for that is great. I love the residue for that because with the music, if you guys don't know, what happens is the official versions will change. Most live shows and everything will change, but you might find one, maybe two live shows that didn't, or you'll find tons of parodies or cover bands where they're all singing it the way you remember. And the interesting one for me, Under the Bridge is really big for me. Red Hot Chili Peppers big in Canada? I'm assuming they were big there too, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, during the alternative thing in the early 90s, they were like, you know, in front with whoever else was there. Yeah.
Green Day, Rage Against the Machine, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Exactly. I mean, even they used to lump like Aerosmith in under alternative, right? But they, you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, and I might not screen share because I showed it before. My computer goes a little slow when I screen share, but I actually posted it on my Facebook wall today. People can go and see it. You know, so a lot of kids grew up on this in the 90s, and I did too. I was more into hip-hop, so I wasn't super into the Red Hot Chili Peppers, but this song I knew very well. I knew Californication. I knew some of the songs. And I was very into video games, Nathaniel. So this is where I can kind of like how you relate things to your work. I was very into video games, and I used to play Rock Band and the Guitar Hero games all the time.
For sure,
and
this
was in Rock Band, and it had the lyrics on the screen. And the screen always said the City of Angels with an S. But the best part is I was able to get residue of that. And I found a picture of it from the game. And it still says City of Angels.
Amazing.
That's the lyrics. And now in the song, they just say Angel. But there's two live shows where he's clearly saying, is the city I live in the City of Angels? And the entire crowd, tens of thousands of people are all singing it with them, and you can clearly hear them say Angels. Mm-hmm. Another big one is Jewel, Who Will Save Your Soul. Now is not Who Will Save Your Soul. It's still called that, the title, but she says, Who Will Save Your Souls? The Mr. Rogers one, I think we could probably all resonate with.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've seen the one? That's a big one.
I got some crazy residue for that one too, right? Like, it's insane. Yeah,
for the Jewel, like, one of the best ones is she's at a – she's doing like an a cappella version of it, and she's singing it, and she's enunciating the L at the end of soul and just holding it really long, like soul. I'm not going to try and do her voice, but there's clearly no S there, and she does it in every verse song, you know? Is that the residue that you had, or did you have a different for the Jewel? I'd like to hear about
it. Not for the Jewel. We're talking about the what's his face? Mr. Rogers. Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood versus This Neighborhood. And again, it's... You were the same age. Like, he was like, you know, he was the man. He would come in, put on his cardigan, put in his indoor shoes. He didn't care, you know. Like,
he was the man. He was the icon of children's programming, along with Big Bird.
Yeah, and yeah. Again, there's tons of residue for "It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood" as opposed to "This Neighborhood." To the point where, like, even like during his death notice, like they're mentioning his lovely song, and it's like it'd be so insensitive to get it wrong. You know, for an obit, but yeah, they have those. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say I thought there was another Mandela effect that was brought up recently for the Beach Boys' "California Girls," but I can't remember what the lyric discrepancy was. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that one.
I can't remember what.
Okay, I'll have to look that up again. Again, it was. I wish they could all be, never mind. I don't know it offhand, but. So again,
find it because that's going to drive me crazy. I can't remember which one it was either, but you have to find it. That was a good one too.
Oh, hey, so speaking of 90s bands, right? Chumbawamba. You remember Chumbawamba? Yeah. Right? I remember Chumbawamba. I was around at the time, I was actually the program manager for like a university radio station. So I would have to do all the playlists and then send them back to the record labels and stuff. And at the time there was the tub thumping song that was just like huge. Now Chumbawamba, do you know how to spell Chumbawamba?
I would say Chumbawamba.
Well, that's the thing. Wumba, that's how I remember it. You know, I'm just going to grab your screen for a sec. Oh, here we go. Sure. Let me just dive right into that one because it's ridiculous. Sorry. And again, this is, there are so many changes happening. Like I've seen, like I've been taking notes, and it's something I say, like since last year alone, I've seen about 1,000. And it's not like stuff I've been prompted by the internet that I'm kind of agreeing with. These are just independent observations that I've made that I can then corroborate with other people saying like, oh shit, like you guys saw the same thing I did. Now Chumbawamba, geez. So apparently they've always been called Chumbawamba, right?
Wow.
Here we go. It's a little slow right now. Let me just call this stuff up because this is one of those that blows my mind because I know like Chumbawamba was such a one, like not a one hit wonder, but that song was so huge. It's like one of these like drinking, if you ever went out drinking, you invariably sang it because everybody was like shit faced. So the guys and gals of Chumbawamba, nowadays, if you look up the band, they're actually called Chumbawamba with an A here, right? Look at this residual. This is mind-blowing because this is an article about Frank Zappa written by Danbert Nobeken, who is from Chumbawamba. Wow. And it says here, right here, Danbert Nobeken of Chumbawamba. It's an article by him. And at the very end, this caught my attention and became an inspiration for Chumbawamba. This is his own band he's writing about. He's misspelled the name of his band. Here, just to show you, this is on the title, again, the discrepancy. This is what they are now, Chumbawamba, like W-A-M-B-A, right? And again, So here, again, Tub Thumper is Chumbawamba. That's the way I remember it. Here's another cover, Chumbawamba, what you see is what you get. Of course, on the cover in big sans in capitals, Chumbawamba.
Wow.
Wham. Yeah, again, Alice Natter of Chumbawamba. And there are tons of like these residuals, but Chumbawamba making its way up the charts with Tub Thumping.
Oh, wow.
You say Chumbawamba's Tub Thumping is your favorite one-off wonder. Why is that? Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba is amazing because it's such a ridiculous song. It's catchy, and of course it's fun to say Chumbawamba.
Huh.
You know, that's...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the answer is Chumbawamba, Tub Thumping. That's from like, you know, I get knocked down, I get up again. So that's, again, Chumbawamba. Look into your music. If you're ever into music, just like look at your back, your discogs, your discographies, your back catalog. There is likely a lot of things that have changed.
Oh, there's tons. There's tons. Yeah. Some songs are really big too. Like, well, the how deep is your love is a big one. And I wasn't a big Bee Gees guy, but it was always I really need to know to me. I really need to learn. You know, the We Are the Champions is absolutely huge to me. It just sounds so ridiculous now where it cuts out at the end and just, you know, just kind of fades out and doesn't say of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a huge one. The Mr. Rogers one, like you said, that's huge for me. Hadaway, What Is Love? I don't know if you've seen that one.
No, I haven't seen that one yet.
There's a song by Hadaway. It goes, what is love?
Right.
Don't hurt me no more.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And people are kind of rationalizing, saying, oh, you misheard the lyrics, right? And you're like,
yeah, that song. Like, lady. It's like, dude, he never said
baby.
Yeah. Scorpions, Winds of Change is now Wind of Change. We said it earlier. People might not have caught it, but the Sara Lee jingle, nobody does it like Sara Lee. I don't know if you have Sara Lee up in Canada, but.
We do.
It's nobody doesn't like Sara Lee. It's like a double negative.
Can I? I'm gonna grab the screen for that because there's some like mind blowing residuals, right? So you're saying, you know, oh, we got the company's like, you know, little slogan wrong. Fair enough, right? So the company, and if you look at their history, they never used nobody does it like Sara Lee. It's always been nobody doesn't like Sara Lee. The double negative. Here, screen sharing. Here I am. Okay, let me get out of this. I'm going back to my album list. So again, we'll put the link to the site. You can go and explore yourself. I'm looking for the Sara Lee because it's dumb. It's dumb. All right, here we are. I'm just going to use the first one just to get into this. So again, this is This was an article by Sara Lee. You get the little registered trademark, and they say nobody does it like Sara Lee, right? So you got an article by Sara Lee. Okay, you know, maybe they flubbed. It's a little weird. So here, this is a job posting advert looking for employers, like sent in by Sara Lee itself. So here you got Sara Lee, the bakery group. Nobody does it like Sara Lee. And they're like, Sara Lee Baker's group is looking for, you know, whatever, qualified yada yada to load their machines, right? But this is, again, the company saying it. Nobody does it like Sara Lee. Right at the bottom, unfortunately. So it's, again, they're looking for Sara Lee, like, you know, come work for Sara Lee. And at the bottom, nobody does it like Sara Lee. These are the people in charge of HR. You figure you know the company, right? Again, this is an ad placed by the Sara Lee Bakery. At the top, it says, nobody does it like Sara Lee Ladies. Right? There's the Zoom here. Nobody does it like Sara Lee Ladies. And this is an ad space bought by Sara Lee. Like, again, this is insane because this is another column, apparently, that Sara Lee, they had it a number of times. But if you look at the company history, I'm trying to find, in 1968, the nobody does it like Sara Lee jingle is introduced. If you go on YouTube and look at the jingle, it's now, that again, double negative, nobody doesn't like Sara Lee as opposed to does it like Sara Lee.
It might as well just say everybody likes her.
Yeah, you know? And I mean, it goes on and on. Nobody does art like Sara Lee. And of course, once again, we're moving to the realm where journalists are kind of like, you know, punning or riffing off of, like, you know, pretty ubiquitous, nobody, but the ones we were showing earlier are from, like, actual Sara Lee. Like, they, you know, they should know better. And again, look, here's an ad in a paper, Sara Lee Cheesecakes. Nobody does it like Sara Lee.
I like Sara Lee.
Oh, I like Sara Lee. You know what I like? I used to love stovetop stuffing. But
oh, you like everything. Go eat a brownie. You like everything.
I've never eaten stovetop.
You get the munchies.
That was a big one for me. Out of all the products, the Stouffer's stovetop never existing is a big one for me.
That's hey, a big one. Sorry.
Can I ask the chat a question?
You can do whatever you want. You've been very quiet, so.
I could strip? No, I'm joking. Okay. No,
you might get me thrown off YouTube, so.
All right. I just want to ask a question. The movie, okay, there's a movie, and I just want to know what you guys remember, okay? Is the movie called Being John Malkovich or Becoming John Malkovich?
I remember Being John Malkovich. Has
really?
It changed? Yeah.
I remember Becoming John Malkovich, okay?
Okay.
Curious to know what people remember. Being or Becoming John Malkovich?
Here.
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
It's a trippy film if you're ever looking for something to watch.
Paul says Being.
Tell Paul, shut up. I remember being John.
Yeah, becoming, John.
I'm sorry, becoming. Brr. Yeah, becoming John Malkovich. Okay. And I just want to throw one more out there and then you guys can go. All right. It's not a movie, but does anybody remember Coke being sold in a box? And I don't know.
Like the one?
Huh? Yeah.
Milk carton images we've seen recently?
Yeah. Coca-Cola in a carton. Does anybody remember that?
No, never. And I don't know if one of you guys has any of those images handy so we could screen share it. I don't have any saved.
Yeah.
She's literally talking about a red and white carton. Looks like a carton of milk, maybe a little bigger, and it's full of Coca-Cola. Like literally what we're talking about here. Wow. I've never. And, you know, here's the other thing, too. We know that there are some things we talk about where, you know, okay, maybe it's not the best. Because there's a different group, right, isn't there, Nathaniel, of Mandela effects that you think might be a top 10. Mm-hmm. But then Mandela effects that you would use to present to people that are new to the idea is going to be a very different list. It might have some of the same things, but it's going to have ones that they don't have to question. If this thing, you know, because like I could present things to you that are huge to me, but I already know that you're not questioning if our reality can really change. Whereas with them, you have to go right for the big dogs, like the ones that they're going to know, right?
Right.
What are What are the ones you go at with people when you try and approach them with something?
Well, here's the one that we were talking about, like off while we were off air. Again, everybody either has driven in a car in their life or like drives at this point, right? Objects in the mirror. Now, if you remember in your side view mirror, there's a little bit of legalese that has always been there. The objects in the mirror may be closer than they appear. The maybe is what I remember as a kid. I used to think like, well, are they or aren't they? Why are you telling me maybe? Like, how close are they, right? And yeah, yeah. If you look at the actual history now, it's always been objects in mirror are closer than they appear. And you could go look at any like vintage car at their windshield or like rather their side view mirror. And it's, again, are closer than they appear as opposed to maybe. There's a lot of residuals for that too, like recent ones too. So it's a wonder when that change might have actually unfolded, right? And I think that's, again, a ubiquitous change that like people have all read because of the car.
I remember it both ways, believe it or not. Just like you, when I was a kid, I was like, oh, are they or aren't they? And right. Then I remember changing and I was like, well, I misread that, I guess. Yeah.
Maybe you didn't misread it. Maybe it just changed and it didn't change in the time frame people typically think of Mandela effects.
Right, exactly. Because I had my
20 years ago for you, like we've talked about, this probably goes back thousands of years. It's probably accelerated, a million times fold now, because of maybe us awakening our consciousness, all the theories we've talked about. But we know it didn't start in 2012 or 2010 or whenever people want
to point it.
We know it started way before then. So, and one time you were sure it may be closer than they would appear. And that's just an odd phrase to remember if it was never the truth.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you remember something odd that was never the truth like that? It just doesn't make sense to me. So the change probably happened for you, X number of years ago, and not 5, 6, 3, 4 years ago,
I remember Looney Tunes changing a good 16 years ago, Looney Tunes, because I remember watching it with my son going, wow, when did they change the name?
Weird.
I remember back in, I think it was 2006 with Staples and then Subways.
Mm-hmm.
So,
have you, one of you, since looking into the Mandela effect and realizing what it is, have you ever recollected a memory that you used to have where something really confused you and you're like, oh, well, maybe that's what happened then. And that's why, so-and-so didn't live at his house anymore. Or
right.
Anything like that ever happened to you guys?
Yeah.
Not a personal thing. I just wanted to touch on the whole idea of like when you observe the changes, because I'm doing a lot of research and a lot of the changes that are Mandela-based are like the names of actors and things, right? So, for instance, Twilight Zone, the guy who wrote, directed, and kind of like was the narrator, Rod Sterling. For me, he was Rod Sterling, like silver sterling, like dishware. But apparently he's always been Rod Serling. Now, if you do a lot of research on these names, you'll find a lot of letters to the editor going all the way back to like the 1960s where people write in saying, hey, can you help me settle a bet? I swear his name is Rod Sterling, but my significant other says he's actually Rod Serling. Can you settle this bet? And you kind of see all these people experiencing it in real time from almost every year. There's another letter to the editor, and it's a pattern I've seen with everything from people writing in about Christopher Reeve's name being confused or Sally Fields having an S or not. Even there's a change. Georgia O'Keeffe, her name, she's a famous painter. She paints lovely paintings of close-ups of flowers. She's the mother of American modernism. Georgia O'Keeffe. I edited a university humanities on her, so it's I've had to study her. Her name now, O'Keeffe, is spelled with two F's at the end. Now, if you look at the newspapers, it goes all the way back in the 70s where people are like, when did her name change? I did it. I always knew it. You know what I'm saying? So it's you as the observer can almost shift into this change at any point in time. For me, in real time, I noticed her changing in 2017. But for other people, they've noticed it in the 80s and then in the early 90s and then the late 90s.
It's strange. What you said is true, because a lot of times when there's a change in a song, a Mandela change in a song, I'll go back and I'll watch that song and I'll go back to maybe 3 or 4 years comments and somebody go, wait a minute, I thought they said something different. I guess I was saying it wrong all along. I was like, damn, there it is. And you're right. It's true.
Or when you go back and you look at the, if it's a YouTube video, say from 2007, 2008, you know, the song will be changed, the actual in the song, but the lyrics on the screen will remain how you remember it, or the person that wrote in the show notes will remember it how you remember it, or even the title of the song, if it's changed, will be how you remember it in the person's print, but the official song that they're showing on the video, the contents within it have changed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like, how would they make this mistake? I know people, you know, not everybody that uses YouTube or any website is always the smartest, some aren't. But some of the mistakes are so big, and they totally match with what we remember to, again, think we're all making the same mistake and collectively misremembering the exact same things and inputting the exact same words in the exact same place all together for no reason at all. And then we have the residue to back us up. It's like, dude, our case is a lot more than strong. I mean, there is definitely change is happening here. You can quantify it any way you want. You can call it a quantum effect. You can call it a Mandela effect. You can call it a reality shift. You can call it, if you want to call it, these other theories, parallel universe, whatever you want to call it. It's happening. Something crazy is happening here.
Yeah. So you might not be familiar with this painter. Some of you might actually be really familiar with her, because she actually has a museum all to her own. She's got the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum. All her paintings are there. But again, there's still books in circulation where her name is spelled Georgia O'Keeffe with the one F, right? And this is like O'Keeffe's window. It's Georgia O'Keeffe, the artist's landscape, you know? And, this one, O'Keeffe on O'Keeffe. It's a book by Georgia O'Keeffe, by Georgia O'Keeffe. It's her autobiography about her. And, like, I mean, this is how it was spelled. Nowadays, it's always has two Fs, K-E-E-F-F-E. Wow. It's mind-blowing, right?
And again, the E with the double F is the odd way to spell it. So if you were going to spell it wrong, I could see if back in the day, say her name was the double F, which is odd, if you would have spelled it and put the one F, which is what it – you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's just crazy how these things work. Maybe I'm not explaining it good, but
– No, but it isn't like a likely typo to like
– Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. It's not at all. It's like you're spelling it – Yeah, it's not a likely typo at all, because one of them stands so much.
Yeah, I'm going to give you back the screen. It's getting a little bit late. It's almost 5 o'clock. I might have to duck out in a little bit, but I did want to share, you know how we were showing some stuff where there's a discrepancy between like the captions and the product behind it says, like, you know, the JCPenney still spelled with like the N-N-E-Y, but very... I mean, it doesn't happen very often, but you can find perfect residuals. And I just want to like show a few, because it's like, it kind of blows my mind, right? Here, I'm just going to jump in if you don't mind. Here, can you see what's going on here?
Yep.
Okay, cool. In fact, I'll do it as a slideshow just because it makes the images bigger. Here's one for me. Noxzema. It's a, you know, face cream and a bunch of other things. Shaving cream in this case. Noxzema, I always grew up with it. It was spelled N-O-X-E-M-A. If you look it up nowadays, Noxzema has a Z in it. It's N-O-X-Z-E-M-A. But again, here's some ads that I've just grabbed from like local circulars. The product beside it, here it is spelled without the Z. And it's got the same branding, the same packaging design, the same like logo for all intents and purposes as the actual package. Like the only way to do this is for an illustrator sit down and actually like look at the logo to misspell it twice is like kind of mind blowing. And again, Noxzema skincare with a Noxzema package. Right. So somebody might point out some of these are a little loose, and I imagine this is kind of why they survive. This is not the official image that was provided by the company. This is somebody who sat down and kind of, you know, banged out a cheap version, let's call it. Right. But here's a coupon for skincare Noxzema with a little Noxzema package, right? And again, look at this. This is crazy. This is Noxzema, famous Noxzema cream. And there it is sitting in the back with the N-O-X-E-M-A. Like if you're astute enough to be able to do a life drawing that's like gets shadow and all this, chances are you're going to copy the logo the way it's spelled. Mm. Oh, again, Noxzema, famous Noxzema. And on the packaging, of course, it's, you know, spelled twice. And again, you know, this is not the best example, but this guy knew Noxzema doesn't have a Z. Again, you know, Noxzema shaving cream. We're going to skip ahead because, you know, there's a lot of Noxzemas. This is one that blows my mind because my grandfather used to give this to me every Sunday. It was Cracker Jacks in plural.
Yep.
Right? Changed Cracker Jacks.
Take Me Out to the Ball Game has the word Cracker Jacks in it, and it's changed to Cracker Jack as well.
In singular, which is crazy. But again, this is exactly the packaging I remember with that little sailor, and he had a dog. I don't know. But again, Cracker Jacks in the background. You know, Cracker Jacks, it's a bit loose, but obviously Walgreens kind of knew it was Cracker Jacks. Cracker Jacks with the S on these like kind of shitty illustrations, but still it matches the Cracker Jacks, triple pack of Cracker Jacks with the S. Oh, more Cracker Jacks, more Cracker Jacks. You know, take me out to the ball game, buy me some soda and crack, you know, Cracker Jacks.
Yeah, buy me some nuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. Now it's buy me some peanuts and Cracker
Jack. And Cracker Jack, which is, here's the thing, right? If you're going to be rhyming with if I never come back, Cracker Jack alone is perfect. Why add the S? It's not like I'll never come backs. You know what I mean? Like there's no rational reason why to toss an S into that song. This one has Pennzoil. A lot of people remember Pennzoil, which has two N's because it's essentially Pennsylvania oil. I remember it with one N. In fact, I actually remember Pennsylvania with one N as well, but that's another, you know, can of worms to open up. But this, it was one of the first, I'll call them perfect residuals I ever found, where the packaging in the background, that's the logo. It's the Liberty Bell with Pennzoil at one end, exactly as it is. Like if you go look up the company history, that's their logo. But this dude sat down and drew a whole bunch of packages just with one end. Blows my mind. And again, Pennzoil, there's like shit tons of like residuals. Pennzoil, like again with that Liberty Bell, not a very good illustration, but like, you know, I mean, that's what it is. Pennzoil, you know, again, Pennzoil, some of these are a little rougher, but I just included them because again, the copy mirrors both like the Pennzoil motor oil and there's the illustration. This is another one, guys. Vlasic is a brand of,
oh yeah,
pickles and other kind of pickled bits. So Vlasic for me, sorry,
they have that like iconic pelican as a mascot.
That's right. And so here, Vlasic for me was always kind of spelled like classic, but with a V. And again, Vlasic Polish pickles. It's on the packaging. If you look nowadays, there's only one S. You know, and again, I mean, it's not perfect, but they went, you know, they went so far as to write Vlasic on that stupid, you know, group of hamburger dope chips. Another one, if you ever go into the food aisle, Carl Budding is like, they do like luncheon meats and stuff like that. That's how I remember it, Carl Budding. Here he is written Carl Budding on the packaging. Nowadays, it's Carl Budding. There's no N. It's just Budding.
Wow. Oh, wow. Nathaniel, I went to the grocery store the other day and it's like, right? being in a bad dream, bro. I mean, you're just surrounded by so much shit that doesn't make any sense to you. You can't find anything you want to eat because it never existed. It's like a big time.
I could totally empathize on that. It's pretty crazy. Now, here's one that a lot of people might not resonate with, but this one went viral. Like, if you're a girl, chances are you may have used some. They do these clip-on nails, and they also do eyelashes, false eyelashes. The name of the company is called Eylure. Here I've got this comparison because Eylure for me was always spelled E-Y-E-L-U-R-E, like Eylure, like it's your eye is alluring because they do fake eyelashes. Nowadays, the company is actually called E-Y-L-U-R-E, so they've dropped the E. Now, if you compare the two packages, like this is essentially the illustration of like the packaging they're selling in the 70s, right? Even to the point where it says new Eylure, easy to fix nails, new Eylure, easy to fix nails, the same headline here, it's spelled with an EY lore.
Wow.
The illustration spells it with the same logo, right? And here you can see the Eylure complete kit for $4. Like the caption is the way I remember it, but the packaging has changed. But you often find.
I didn't know about this one, Nathaniel.
Here again.
Gloria, is that a product you've used?
No, I know of it, but no, I didn't know about this change. That's wild.
So again, perfect residuals where the packaging still has the EYE. And if you go actually look at the logo, it's like they've nailed the font, right? So it's like, so they were actually looking at something when it just wasn't a product of their mind. Like, again, the packaging, Eylure spelled with the E-Y-E, E-Y fingernails. Honestly, if you go look at online, their history, they've never been Eylure. They celebrated their 20th anniversary, or no, 60th anniversary recently. Again, a big one for me, Oscar Mayer, right? Mm-hmm. When I grew up, Oscar Mayer Bacon, here the Oscar Mayer is actually on the package, not very well, but it survived. And because, again, this is a jingle that had the spelling of the company's name built into it, right? Like, my bologna has the second name. It's M-E-Y-E-R, not M-A-Y-E-R. Like, that's crazy. And this also kind of blows my mind. Little Caesar's Pizza. Caesar.
That is off completely.
It's not just them either. It's also Caesar's Palace as well.
That's it. It's Caesar's Palace. It's Julius Caesar.
It's Caesar. Yeah, it's all changed.
It's Caesarian section. It's any kind of iteration that kind of trickled down from Caesar is now spelled Caesar, like a C-A-E-S-A-R. And I get that. Like, in he was the Kaiser. In German, that makes sense. But, like, quite honestly, like, this is the only spelling I've ever grown up with. Now, what I'm showing you are a bunch of ads from, again, Little Caesars itself, like the pizza guy, right? So two great pizzas, one low price, and they list two locations. Little Caesars Pizza, you'd figure a pizza place would know the name of, you know, and again, I'm showing some, these are like some job posting ads from Little Caesars with the typeface that they use, right? It's like, here's Little Caesars. We're looking for, you know, it's got a good job, good place, good pay. Again, another, and this is not from the same newspaper. This is another newspaper, another year, another week, whatever, right? So in Bismarck, they're looking for people to join Little Caesars. Again, with that typeface, that's their logo. That's how I remember it being spelled. Again, two other ads, Little Caesars, Little Caesars, Little Caesars, right? Come work for us. Again, Little Caesars, come work for us. And it could go on and on. I mean, I could show you thousands of these. Just to show you, I mean, these are people in HR who really should know better. Like, Little Caesars Farmington is now hiring a manager trainee, applying person at the Farmington Little Caesars in wherever, Karsha Boulevard. That's crazy, right? And I mean, if you don't believe me, like, I can't even spell the new spelling. That's what blows my mind. Okay, whatever.
That was a big one.
That is a big one. And Nathaniel, I know you said you wanted to go soon, but before you go,
yeah,
can you do me one favor and just, you know, tell everybody how you have this stuff all organized on your site, how each Mandela has its own folder, how they are all downloadable with one click. You can share them to any social network and just how it updates in real time. And I'll drop everybody a link because I really like what you're doing on your website. And I know a lot of the residue that you showed is all archived up there. And I think that's a really good thing people should look at.
Yeah, absolutely. Essentially, I did this because, I mean, it's a hard conversation to broach with, like, your mom or dad or something, right? And I find if you have some visual show and tells, you can show them, like, look, you know, I remember Looney Tunes as O-O-N-S as opposed to, like, the show tunes, right? And then you show them articles, it makes the conversation seem that you're just not schizophrenic and having, like, these delusions in your head. It's called the Mandela Effect Database. It's on Flickr. And again, they're organized into albums. So if there may be some Mandela effects you're not aware of in here, I think I have almost like 100 plus entries or albums at this point. I got 5,000 photos. So these are all residuals that show reality the way we remember it, but things have moved on. So, we'll provide you the link, but again, feel free to share this in your, like, you know, on Facebook, Twitter, wherever you're doing social media, Instagram, just to show you, they're organized in album based on the particular cases. So there's one for Chick-fil-A, 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 the three different Chick-fil-A's. In fact, I'll cue that one up. We got some of the classics like Sex in the City, Berenstain Bears. We've got some of the new ones like Etch-a-Sketch lost its hyphens recently. We were talking about this one, Little Tykes.
One that resonates. They can just look, you know, if you don't see ones that resonate, they can skip over it. Go to one that resonates, and they can literally, with one click, share the entire album or individual photos or download them the same way as a batch or one at a time. I've tried it. It's very, very good resource. I really like it.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to see. Yeah. So once again, they're all organized. You were talking about flip-flops. Let me just maybe end on this one. So here's the flip-flop. At one point, I grew up with Flintstones, right? The Flintstones. Flint, like in my mind, I rationalize it because it's a type of rock. You kind of shave down a flint, you've got a tool that you can now cut with, right? Yep. And a lot of like I guess people in the Neolithic times were using flint tools. It made sense. Now, then for a while, it was crazy because flint stones became Flynn stones without the T, right? And everybody was saying, like, it's always been like that. And I'm like, fuck no, dude, it had a T, right? Like, and then it switched back to Flintstone. Like, I don't know when, but...
Like Gloria said, where are all those people now that said it's always been Flynn without the T, and now it's back to Flint with the T? Where are you now?
So here's the crazy part. Okay, so it's never... Nowadays, it's never been Flintstone, right? So I went into the newspaper archives. In the syndicated comics, I found... I'm going to count like about 500 comics ranging from like 60 to onwards. There's 14 years of comics that spell it Flintstones without the T. Okay. And this is 14 years. So it's not like it's a one-off. They had 14 years to fix this mistake, but I'm not going to show them all to you. But there's 500 of these, right? Every single one of them spells Flintstones. Not a single one of them has a T in it. It's like, okay, one-off mistake, I can understand. But, like, this is an intellectual property from Hanna-Barbera. Chances are they're going to spell it the way it is, right? Flintstones. Because it's crazy, because even in the comic, when they mention, like, Fred, they spell it with a T. Only, for whatever reason, the titles remain, you know, Flintstone. But this, again, to reiterate, 500 of these over 14 years.
Wow.
Right? Blah blah blah, Flintstones. I'm trying to find one where they like actually talk to him, just to show you the discrepancy between like
the dialogue. Well, and then the dialogue has the T, right? When they call him whatever. It's
great. So to me, this was one that like it's hard to rationalize away. Like how does like a mistake carry on 14 years that nobody notices, right?
It flip-flopped back, right?
Just like Apollo 13, this did the same thing. Except it did it in such a quick amount of time, probably.
It went to the correct spelling, but it didn't go back to the Flynn, right? It went back to Flint.
No, it started as Flint, it went to Flynn, and then went back. It's gone back to Flint.
Holy cow.
So if the people that we told about the change didn't catch it change in real time, they're never going to believe us that it changed to Flynn, you know? Without, because it's gone now. It's just back to the way it was. But it was like Apollo 13. For me, like the Apollo 13 one, it was crazy because I watched a change and then I'm in the YouTube comments with everybody and everybody's talking about it and we all witnessed a change back. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those videos are gone now too where people were talking about it. It's crazy, man.
That is crazy. Not as...
Yeah, 14 years of Flintstones. And it's the weirdest thing too because when you're in the Flintstone world, like they're kind of they've rationalized it away too. They're like saying, well, hey, Flint is so obvious. Flintstones is a portmanteau as it rolls off the tongue. There's like the implied T in Flintstones, right? And they're like, and for them, it's like perfectly like valid arguments. And it's like, I've heard the argument from both sides. It's like this weird Zen cone where it's like, it's almost funny because I've heard people argue how Flint is the only way to spell it because it's about the rock. And then I hear from them that it's this portmanteau that's so much more sophisticated than just saying Flint. You know what I mean? It's like, I've heard arguments from two different dimensions, pretty much.
Well, if it was supposed to be Flint and it's more like sophisticated or whatever to say it that way. I mean, they're basing it off a compound word of two words that have to do with the basis of the freaking show.
Right. Flintstones. It's kind of,
because Flint is a stone and that's why they named it that.
So there you go. I mean, Flintstones. Meet the Flintstones. I won't show, like again, there's hundreds of them. You don't need to see them, all of them after a while. I'll just give you back your screen. There you go. Oh, wait.
Well, I know you want to go soon. Is there anything you want to say before you go? Besides, you know, just showing the residue you want to show. Anything you want to say to the people listening or?
I don't know. I think, you know, for some of the people who are new to this, keep your eyes open. I've kept my eye open, and I can remember for a time, I do a lot of work online, like remote graphic design. And for a time, I was seeing them like 2-3 a day, just like, you know, normal correspondences with friends and stuff, like seeing things that I assumed were typos, but don't assume, because when you go check it out, you might realize, like, shit, reality's changed.
It's pretty crazy. So we gave everybody your link. Is your Twitter page or your Facebook something you would like in the show notes as well, or do you keep those kind of private?
I keep them private because I do, like I said, I do a lot of remote graphic design. I don't have my clients thinking I've gone like complete nuts. You know what I mean?
Well, we'll just link people to your Flickr page, mm-hmm. and maybe hopefully you'll come back another time and we'll have some more Mandela discussions with maybe other people involved or whatever, if that's cool with you.
That would be awesome. And again, thanks for having me on the show. And yeah, I'm just going to say, like, you know, I see often like rationalizations where people are assuming that those who noticing these effects are the ones who can't spell, you know, and it's just like, you're just dumbass. You don't have a good memory. You can't spell, but it's like, I can spell. You know, in school, I was like valedictorian, you know, I graduated with honors. It's like, not to do like a humble brag or anything, but it's like,
really,
you know, like I know like how to spell. It's not like that's my issue. In fact, I've had like a near photographic memory. Like that was always my problem. Like I could spell really well. It's like so being able to spot these, like for instance, wiener. The spelling for wiener changed like in March.
It's Weiner, right?
It's Weiner. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just like with Steven Spielberg. For me, it's a change too. He's IE now instead of EI.
Yeah, there's been some flips, right?
Not just the spelling. Come on, look at everything else. Look at the – it's everything.
Everything. It's spelling. It's music. It's geography. It's anatomy.
The big one, right? What's our place in the Milky Way? Our location in the Milky Way, which is like – you don't even have to know the name of the arm, okay? Like I grew up loving with Carl Sagan, Cosmos, like going to planetariums and shit. Every time you say, where are we in the Milky Way? It's like right on the very edge of the Milky Way galaxy. It's always been there. Like you can't even debate that. Nowadays, if you look at it, we're no longer on the edge on the Sagittarius arm, but we're deep in the galaxy on Orion's Spur. We're about 50% towards the galactic center. Boom! I did an elective in university, an astronomy course. That was like, I don't know, 2001, I guess. It's like, come on, guys.
Really?
Yeah. That's a huge change. And I can remember the guy who apparently had discovered that we were on the edge of the galaxy. He's got a funny 20th name. It's Arlo Shapley or Shapley. He was, he had, at least in my timeline, was the guy who discovered it. If you look at his wiki page, he doesn't have the discovery anymore. He never found out that we were on the edge of the galaxy. We've always, always been on Orion's Spur. I've got astronomy books from the 70s, right? Like these are my textbooks. Yeah. And you go in there and they're like, yeah, we were always on Orion's Spur, right? But like you said, if you go look at videos online, there you can still find Carl Sagan and even, what's his face, Neil deGrasse Tyson talking about us being on the Sagittarius arm. So where are they getting this bad science, right? If my textbooks from the 70s are pretty much parroting what, you know, is the reality now. So, we've shifted a position in the galaxy, guys.
Yeah, and let me just say something to a lot of my listeners, because a lot of my listeners, we look into other things and stuff, and, you know, we don't give science as much credit as some other people, but the fact still remains, if what you were taught is now completely different than what was always taught, it's still a Mandela effect. Whether those claims of where we are turn out to be true or false, it's the fact is now they've never claimed to be where you are saying we were. Just like with the maps, when I point out geography changes and they say, oh, Brian, well, you tell everybody the maps aren't accurate and this and that. Yes, but still, when I grew up, South America was in 1,000 miles to the east next to Africa. If I go back, I'm not looking at Google Maps and Google Earth. If you go back and look at maps that you had in sixth grade or whatever, South America way over here and the Panama Canal is going more north, south, and east, west. That makes it a Mandela effect.
Yeah, and it's hard too, right? When you look at geography, it's like I saw the globe in September last year, and it blew my mind because I'm like, that's not the globe I'm used to, right? And there's like little things, like I went to Cuba as a kid when I graduated from high school, and Cuba is not in the same position.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Nathaniel. Everybody calls me crazy. It's not. It's completely different.
Because here's the thing. When I was in Havana, like you stay in like Varadero, if I wanted to get to the Florida panhandle from Cuba, you'd have to travel northwest. That's how you, but now if you're in Havana, you travel northeast to get to Florida. And it's like, how did that happen?
You know, right? You're the first person to agree with me. Every time I bring that up, it's like you hear the crickets. They're like, oh, I don't, Yes.
And then again, it's stuff you resonate with. Like I have family members from Sicily, right? Sicily is a little island off the boot of Italy. As a kid growing up, you go out and you celebrate the World Cup because Italy's always like playing, right? And everybody draws the boot, like the boot of Italy, almost like it's kicking a ball. And you're like, yeah, I've held up those signs too, right? And now if you look, Sicily is actually touching the toe of Italy. It's landing like 1.9 miles away. Like I can swim that distance. In my mind, it was at least like 40 kilometers. I don't know what it turns out into miles, right?
Well,
But
now it's
it's.
like it used to be like a standing boot, and now it looks like it's cocked back, getting
Yeah,
ready.
there's that. Yeah, there's that too. It's crazy.
Yeah, but even the boot was never that defined. That's a Steve Madden boot right there. I mean, it's a boot, but it was never that defined. I'm from Sicily too.
Right.
So is my whole family, and no, that boot didn't look like that.
Because I heard them talking about building this bridge from like across the Messina Strait, and you're like, well, how can they build a bridge? It's like 40 kilometers. And when you look at it now, it's like they only have to go 1.9 miles. Like, it's no big deal,
The bridge, you're right. Oh
Same
my
as
God.
Alaska and Russia, in my opinion. I remember Alaska and Russia being maybe 200 or 300 miles apart, but very
Yeah.
close. They're only 55 miles apart.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Crazy.
So there's a lot of changes. I look at Japan and its relation to like the rest of Asia, and it's like, how did it float so far north, right? Or even Australia, how did it used to be the land down under, and it's like touching Papua New Guinea. I could swim across, like if worse came to worse, and it's like you couldn't do that.
And it's got the nickname the Land Down Under because besides Antarctica, it was the furthest south. And now even New Zealand, its neighbor, is further south.
Further
Parts
south,
of
yeah.
Africa and parts of South America are all further south than New Zealand now. I mean, then Australia.
Yeah, mind blown. Ooh. So yeah, honestly, guys, my parting message is: if you have memories that are different than like what other people are telling you, don't give up your sovereignty. Right? Your memories are absolutely valid. People keep saying memory is fallible. Like bullshit. Right? Like if Brian, right? If Walt Disney tomorrow became Walt Bisney with a B, you would notice it, right? How could you possibly remember Walt Disney from one day to the next, right? Like it's a ridiculous thing to even say, but this is what the detractors keep telling me. Like, how could you possibly remember the Looney Tunes from one day to the next? Because I've got a memory, right? So yeah, believe in your memory, guys. You are absolutely right.
Don't trust your
I tell
memory.
people all the time, trust your senses, and memory being one of the key ones, obviously. Use your senses, what you observe, and that goes with any topic. Trust your senses and stop, just listening to the naysayers and what you're told to believe and what you're told to know, what reality is, and this and that. You don't know what's really going on here, neither do I. You have your theories, I'm sure. Maybe we'll do that on another show. I have my theories, Gloria has hers. We're trying to put it all together, but we know there's much more to this reality than just the physical nature of it that we've been presented all these years.
I'm on the same page with you for sure. I think that's the big trick in the end is that all this kind of like rationalization be ahead of anything or the secularism, they've been hiding the spiritual side, the proverbial they, like again, another can of worms for another show. But yeah, there's definitely we're kind of almost getting a glimpse into the real like how the reality of nature, right? And it's kind of like, oh, it's totally different than how I assumed it was put together.
Absolute flip of what we've been led to believe, like a lot of things.
Yeah. So, I appreciate what you're doing. Keep, telling the truth, your truth, right? And yeah, I think it's the good way to do
I
Right.
agree. It's awesome.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it, man.
No worries. I'm gonna go and hang with my wife because we have supper like planned. So I'm gonna duck out. So again, thanks for having me on.
Bye
Right.
Bye. I'm gonna log out, guys.
Okay,
Have a good one. All
gonna
right,
stay on,
cheers.
people. Don't shut the stream down. We're gonna stay on for a few. Thanks,
Yep.
Nathaniel.
Cheers.
Gloria, how about we take a quick song, and I gotta go to the bathroom and quick smoke. We'll
Yeah,
be back in five.
I'm gonna. Okay, I'm gonna plug in. Okay.
All right, everybody. We're not going anywhere. We're just going on a quick commercial. All right, everybody. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dose of Reality Radio with Brian Staveley, Gloria Kanata. Nathaniel Hebert was with us, and he's signing off now. And we'll be right back after this quick break. Okay, guys.
Des vidas. personal thing. Capture that, you're a dead man walking. Them chains with trust are calling. Close the line, there's no time for talking. Still breathing knowledge, capture that in your veins that are running. Big dreams are pending, there's no time, all the clocks are bending. Light pulsating, bloodstreams coming, replace the anchors, there's a flooding. There's no minefield, just keep running. Bandits are open, meteors jumping. No memory, on they forgot the key they're lost. Got stung by the bees. Inside humanity's tears are so by their own disease. Life consumed, they forgot to breathe. Loved and fused with the claws of greed. Carved in void, no escape or release. You can defeat, join the stars that you can't reach. Bring your beast, work the glitch. Terror waste under your feet. Don't blink, work the glitch that you try to stop with fury, spears of dreams. You will rest, gazing at shadows of your threats. Instead, demonizing the ego strikes. You feed the lies with a piece of ice. It will reply where your system fries. You kill skies with the river rise. Terror, it's gonna respond. This time, no scope kill be the pawn suggested. Capsule cyanide done. Consequence for the evil's cross. Underground, you dive right in. We're natural against machine. We're factual. You're stuttering inside the pillars crumbling.
We are living in a computer programmed reality. And the only clue we have to it is when some variable is changed.
This is the age where things are changing. History is in the making. We stand up, our guns are blazing. No more sleeping, no obeying. They live, and it's time to know that. I woke up and I won't go back. Fuck the elite, don't cut them no slack. Get them at the roots and they won't grow back. And I won't miss them. For way too long, we've been a victim. Now we're glitches in the system. Clawing our way up just to get some. Look at how they treat us. Program since you were a fetus. I see reptiles, I see demons sucking on some baby penis. Welcome to the Matrix. This is the base of your enslavement. Most people just don't want to face it. They'd rather be taxed and stay complacent. Not me, not ODD. Wait till the CIA gets a load of me. No Agent Smith controlling me, but for me, that's the way that it's supposed to be.
I'm watching.
You gotta use your eyes all the time, because the one-eyed man is king in the land of the blind. You could come with me and you will find that you are the master of the construct of your own mind. All the walls within you. Never press pause, don't stop, continue. Just look at the mess that we got us into. Now it's time to fix it, otherwise we're mental. We stand our ground, you dive right in. We're natural, look, it's machine. We're factual, you're stuttering inside of pillars crumbling.
And I will even say this. Such an impression is a clue. But if at past time point, a variable was changed, reprogrammed as it were, and that because of this, an alternative world branched off.
I got you stuck off the realness. I got you stuck off the realness. I got you stuck off the realness.
ODDTV.
Stuck off the realness.
ODDTV, Payday Monsanto, let's get it, homie.
They live, we sleep, the alarm's going off, beep, beep. Time to wake up to the deceit. Our whole reality's made up by the elite. They live, we sleep, the alarm's going off, beep, beep. Time to wake up to the deceit. Our whole reality's made up by the elite.
They live, we sleep, the alarm's going off, beep, beep. Time to wake up to the deceit. Our whole reality's made up by the elite. They live, we sleep, the alarm's going off, beep, beep. Time to wake up to the deceit. Our whole reality's made up by the elite.
I came here to kick some ass just like Roddy Piper. These motherfuckers that walk among us, they got me hyper. But don't be chewing that bubble gum, it's got aspartame. It's a chemical directly targeted at your brain.
just like the fluoride that they put in the water supply, and all the geoengineering we got in the sky. I'm trying to tell you, and I hope that you're hearing me clearly. This ain't no bullshit speculation conspiracy theory. They live and they're controlling every move you make, from the apartment that you live in to the juice you drink. They give you television to help you ignore this prison, while feeding you genetically modified organisms. They want us like the walking dead, just obey and consume. Don't worry about anything, keep awaiting your doom. To all my warriors out there, this is indeed my call. It's time to put a fucking end to this elite cabal.
Baby, we sleep, the alarm's going off. Beep, beep, beep. Time to wake up to the deceit. Our whole reality's made up by the elite. They live, we sleep, the alarm's going off. Beep, beep, beep. Time to wake up to the deceit. Our whole reality's made up by the elite.
When they try to prove their spinning ball Earth, it's remarkable. All their arguments are absolutely fucking farcical. It's clearly been shown your problems aren't resolvable. Your theory has been blown into tiny little particles. The pharmacological drugs they got the masses on precludes them from putting their rowdy roddy Piper glasses on. And even when they do, they're unable to gaze too straight, cause for most of them it's way too late for them to see past their conditioning. They will not be listening to anything outside their paradigm imprisonment. They are ensconced in a nonsensical certitude, brainwashed by devils to revel in their servitude. It's idiocracy, pure hypocrisy. Waking these dummies up, it used to mean a lot to me. But nowadays I wanna tip their canoes, and as they drown, tell them this is what you get when you snooze.
They live, we sleep, the alarm's going off. Beep, beep, time to wake up to the deceit.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. Gloria, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Shut my screen.
Yeah, I don't see you.
Hang on, let me turn my camera on. Do you see me? Oh, no. Hang on.
No,
the
not
camera
yet.
Should be coming on. No, it should be coming on in a second. All right, guys, we're back. Thank you guys for sticking with us through the break. And we are back up. Let me just tell everybody in the chat. Well, I'm sure they can see if they're in the chat. So that was pretty good, huh? It was good having Nathaniel on.
I didn't know that he had a website where he had all that lined up. That's pretty awesome. So you don't have to go and look at a million different Mandela videos.
You didn't know that he had that?
No, I didn't know. I didn't know. That's pretty awesome.
The night he was on Brian's show, he showed it. And it's been in Brian's show notes the entire time since then. It's really good because you go there. And you can look for anyone you want, and they're all in their own folder. So say you want KitKat or whatever, you go to KitKat, and then there's like 50 or 100 pictures in there. But you could download one at a time, or you can literally just download the whole folder. It'll download all 50 images for you, and you can just throw that in your folder.
How many are on there, do you know?
He said there's about 100 different effects on there.
Wow, that's pretty cool. He should write a book.
Yeah, he's really well-spoken, right?
Yeah, he is. Very smart. I like Nathaniel. He's good people. I like him.
I hope you guys in the chat enjoy the show so far. We're not done yet. We got a little more Mandela effect to talk about because there's a few that Gloria still wanted to bring up. And Nathaniel had expressed that he didn't have much time left, so we wanted to let him finish up all his stuff. But Gloria, what other ones did you want to get into? I know there's a couple big ones. So
the one that I private message you, I think.
So,
do you want to get into that?
You're a big girl. You go ahead and intro it.
Oh, no, honey. I'm going to let you take this one. Go ahead.
Oh, that's good. Go ahead.
Too much. And you have the residue, right?
I got that one piece that I really like. Go ahead. Tell the story, and then I'll add to it.
Are we talking about the same one?
Cha-ching?
Yeah. Cha-ching,
yeah.
Cha-ching.
Yeah.
Okay. So I forgot his name. I forgot that the guy who put it out. Jacob.
Oh. I don't know where you got it from.
Yeah, Jacob. Jacob had put out a video on the money sign that it no longer has two lines in it anymore, and now it's just an S with a little kind of line coming out the top and a line coming out the bottom. And in this reality, the dollar sign with the two lines never existed. I mean, that's a big one. I just can't say it so calmly. It's just, that's crazy. That's ludicrous. And you can find residue out there everywhere. This must be a new one. because the residue is too easy to find.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of people are saying it's always been both. But here's the problem. Even if you look at what the official, you know, the official Mandela backstory is, once again, you go look at the bullshit on Wikipedia. I mean, you can get the official Mandela bullshit backstory on Wikipedia. You can get the NASA backstory. You can get the 9/11 backstory. Like, I mean, you know, the official bullshit narrative. That's where you go for something. You go to Wikipedia, okay? So you go to Wikipedia, and it tells you that basically if you read it, first you're going to look at it and think, oh, yeah, there were always two. Then you read it, and it talks about all the different computer codes it's been used and all the shit, and it's all with the one line now. But it talks about this one time in 1933 where supposedly the U.S. Mint used it on cash bags. And not only are they saying one guy basically mistook it and ran with it and people are going off his lead, they're saying it wasn't even two lines. It was a fucking U through the S. So it was never two lines. It was a U that people mistook for the two lines. A U that was only used in one year, like 1933. And everybody's been doing it with two lines ever since. You know, so you ask people that say, because they're the people that will tell you that it's always been both. If you ask them straight up, well, how many times have you ever drawn it with just one line?
Never.
No, they've all drawn it with two lines. Always. And if you look at your key, and not now you're going to say for people that are skeptical, well, you know, your phone gets updates and shit. But if you look at your keyboard on your physical computer, it's not like it could have updated your keys. It's not two lines on it. It's one line now. It's changed.
And like you said, and even the one line doesn't make sense because they said it was never one line. It was always a U. So where did a one line come from then?
No, there's another backstory for the one line. It originate has another origination, but they're saying the U through the S is a variation that the U.S. Mint used in 1933 that we mistook for two singular lines when it was really connected at the bottom. That's really what they fucking tell you. You know, I'm not making up this shit. That's what they tell you. And I can't find my picture right now, but if you guys literally Google what I'm going to tell you, you'll find it easily. For those of you that already know, I mean, you're going to just know anyways. And it's the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, the old wrestler. He had his whole gimmick. He had a flashy suit on with dollar signs on it. He had his own championship because he wasn't good enough to win the title. He made his own championship, the Million Dollar Belt, with dollar signs all over it, studded out with fake diamonds or whatever. And he also is one. I got one picture with him. He's holding up like this medallion, really longer than a medallion, more like another type of belt with all dollar signs. And they're all two lines. If they had one line, it would look ridiculous. But a lot of them have changed. It's not like they're all like him, because I went to look at Cash Money Records, which is not even music that I like, but they're these down south rappers that always had a dollar sign as their logo. They're called Cash Money Records. And I go, oh, I'm going to go look at it, and I bet you it's the two lines. But it did change. It's one line now. And it looks ridiculous to me.
No, it does. It does. Even the Monopoly game, I ran to go look at it. That's one line.
Yeah, that definitely. That's crazy to me. It's crazy.
That's a really – I think that's a really, really big one. I don't know why that's not going viral, to be honest with you.
And if people do want to believe the Wikipedia story, for instance, let's say they want to believe the Wikipedia story and think that, okay, this guy did mistake it, the U for two lines, and he wrote a letter about it or something. So everybody's just running with that. Why would everybody run with the one rare instance where somebody mistook it for something rather than the fucking 100 years of history that it's supposedly been one line?
What about, you know what, Brian, why don't you look up the publisher's clearinghouse check? See if that has two lines in it.
I will do that. You know, I don't even have a dollar sign on it.
No, it did. No, I think it did.
Well, I'll tell you right now, because I got my
because that'll be kind of, because like I said, the first thing I did was I ran to the Monopoly game and I'm like, did that change? And then I watched videos on the Monopoly cards and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh crap.
Yeah, I got the big picture of the check with Johnny holding it up for Letterman, where he presents it to him and says, Ed can't be here tonight, but you're the lucky $1 million winner. And it says Publishers Clearinghouse right on it. I'm just waiting for it to build my computer slow. I'm trying to see what it says. I don't remember seeing a dollar sign on it though. But as soon as it comes up, you'd be the first to know. I need a new computer.
Do you think that we would be we would be corrected in school. I mean, that's where we learned it. Like,
yeah, it was never corrected. And it's not even like, you know, they have to correct you and be stern about it. They could just tell you, hey, you know that you're doing it wrong. Like, nobody ever said that to me.
Yeah.
I get the dollar thing up now. No, it doesn't have a dollar sign. I was right. What?
I'm going to look through a couple of them. I bet you I'll find it. Well, you know what? This is like so stupid because we don't have to look for residue for that. This is completely ridiculous. Of course it was two lines. End of story. You know what I'm saying? That's just crazy. You don't need the residue.
People that are wondering and saying, hey, why don't you just show that Johnny Carson residue while you're talking about it? Here it is. Take a look. He goes on Letterman. This is in the intro to my show. He goes on Letterman and says, you know, Ed, but you are the $1 million winner, Dave, and he's got a big check. And this doesn't say American Family Publishing, does it? It says Publishers Clearinghouse. That's who we used to work for. This is what we call proof. Like, we're not crazy.
Did you read about that, like the whole story behind the Publishers Clearinghouse and him?
Like the one by Forbes magazine and shit?
I don't know. It said that he was affiliated with them, but he never did commercials and he never did anything. But he was behind the scenes with that organization. So I'm like, that's interesting.
That's absolute bullshit. He was the guy that went door to door.
Yeah, no, I'll never forget that. I was a little kid. I subscribed to those little.
How many people doing it with their Halloween costumes on? And like, everybody knows it.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty crazy. Pretty crazy stuff.
Yeah, are there any other new ones you know?
There was a couple of changes.
Got a couple.
There was a couple of changes to the human anatomy again. I actually don't have them in my notes, but they're.
Can I tell a story?
Is it the Brady Bunch story?
No. It's a quick story about
joking. Go ahead.
So I posted a picture today of the NASA solar probe supposedly going to the sun, and it just goes up and it's just getting ditched in the ocean. It's a mess. I posted it, but somebody had posted it looks like Tinkerbell with her fairy dust, like talking about over the intro to the Disney. That's never existed anymore. So, you know, she wasn't even looking at Mandela for this post. She was, you know, looking at it from a, you know, anti-NASA perspective or whatever. And she made a joke. And I said, you know, Tinkerbell never existed, because she had written that as one word as well. So yeah, I wrote, FYI, Tinkerbell never existed. And she's like, what are you talking about? And I explained it to her. And then I explained to her, if you have Disney movies and you go, the whole thing that you made your comment about, I said, where did you get that idea? I said, I've never watched the Tinkerbell movies really, but I have seen all the Disney movies probably at least once. I've probably seen it, but I don't remember if she does it in the movie, but I know it was the intro. She's like, no, that's where I got it from, the intro. I said, if you had any Disney movies, go check it. And she said, I have Bambi and I forget what the other one was. She went and got them. She sent me screenshots and everything, and it wasn't in the intro. And I had just got her like live on the spot like that in my Facebook comments today.
Yeah. You should have threw in that Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh.
I tagged you in it. You'll have to read it after. I tagged you in it.
Oh, what? The Winnie the Pooh? Oh, that one. What is Winnie the Pooh transsexual?
I don't know. Is he? I know Big Bird is a transgender now.
Transgender.
Somebody brought one up to me the other day.
Winnie the Pooh's a girl. I didn't know Winnie the Pooh was a girl.
Oh, yeah. Winnie the Pooh's a girl. Humpty Dumpty's a cannon. Big Bird. Sexual. Yeah. Oh, I'm serious. Right? The Count's cape is green.
Uh-huh. What else is green?
I don't know what.
It's probably your next Mandela you want to talk about. Green and red.
Oh my god, I almost forgot about the big dog. Oh my god, I can't believe I would have forgot about this. This is like the whole reason I wanted to do a whole Mandela Effect show. This is actually the thumbnail to the video. I just didn't save it yet because the video is live. Freddy Krueger. Okay. Listen, I love the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. To me, the best. Besides Star Wars, they're my favorite series of movies. I have all of them, all the original ones. So 1 through like 8, and then the final Nightmare, 1 through 7, and the new Nightmare, I mean, whatever it is. So Sorry about that. Somebody's at my door. So, you know, Freddie always had a red and green sweater. And, you know, you can even listen to interviews by Wes Craven, who will not only back it up and say he had a red and green sweater, he goes into detail on why they picked that shade of green and everything. Okay, definitely green. In the movie The Dream Warriors, there's a part when all the affected kids are sitting in a counseling session. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of me, you, and our other Mandela friends. So they're all just sitting in the counseling session talking about the craziness that's going on. And they talk about the man that has like knives for fingers and he wears the dirty green and red sweater. And now Freddy's sweater, and I'm not talking about in the remake or in, you know, I know there's a lot of residue. You can show me merchandise all you want. You're backing my point up because it's not red and green in the movie anymore. It's red and gray. And when I'm mixing the gray up with the green, I know gray can be interpreted as black, green, blue. You could interpret gray as almost any color if you really want to stretch it. It was used to be like olive green and red. I mean, the residue I posted from the Ben and Jerry's ice cream with the Freddy coming out of it, and it's titled Never Sleep Again. It's got distinctly olive green and red. It's not anywhere close to a shade of gray. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
No, I agree with you on that one. I remember that because that movie scared the shit out of me. And I only seen like maybe 3 or 4 horror movies in my life because I'm not into horror movies. But yeah, I agree with that one. I'm
not into horror movies at all. I hate horror movies. I took Freddie more as comedy because Freddie was a riot, dude.
He was no riot. I was afraid to go to sleep after that
movie. You walk up to bitch, you'd be like, yo, you want to suck face, bitch?
No. He scared the shit out of me. Oh, no.
He turned his fingers into syringes and he stabbed the girl with the drugs.
No, that movie and The Exorcist were like, I think The Exorcist was the scariest movie ever made. You know, and considering they didn't have technology back then.
Omen is scary.
Huh?
I think The Omen is scarier than The Exorcist.
The Exorcist? Come on. Brian, what the hell are you talking about? That was just the scariest thing. And I don't know why my mother would go to take me to see that when I was a little kid. That was like detrimental. Dude.
Yes, this is the son of Satan, though.
Yeah, but her head didn't spin around, and she didn't throw up green pea shit everywhere, and she didn't stick a cross in her vagina. That was scary.
And now, speaking of the Exorcist, she's been Mandela'd, and she now has a breathing tube up her nose.
That would have been even scarier to see that, honestly.
As if she needs fucking life support. She's a possessed demon. Why is she going to breathe into up her nose? Think about that. Never mind how odd-looking it is. Why does she even need that? That totally chops down the whole stigma of her character, if you ask me. Bitch, you ain't scary. You can barely breathe, you fucking bitch.
Yeah, that movie was kind of scary. I'll never forget that. But I think there's a couple of Mandelas in that. It's not just that one. There was a couple of them. Somebody was talking about it, I just don't remember.
I've seen it a couple of times, and I was real young. So maybe, you know, that might be why it's not as big to me. But Omen is just as old. It came out in the late 70s.
When was the last time you seen it? I bet you it was Mandela, because freaking 60% of the movies we've seen are Mandela already.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe now he's the son of Christ. Who knows?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Grandson, it's the son of this guy's the son of Christ instead of the son of the devil, and it's
he's handing out Bibles instead of throwing his mother down the stairs.
Oh, so you've seen it? So you've seen
bits and pieces of it. That wasn't scary to me. That was Mr. Shining.
The trilogy. So in the second one, he turns into a teenager, and then he realizes that he's the son of the devil. He finds out, and then by the time he's a grown man in the third one, he's using it to manipulate people. He's this bigwig businessman. He's real evil. Now he's like living up to being the son of the devil, and he's just fucking really doing evil shit.
No, not my type. Not my type of movie. Just like, what was it? Mommy Dearest, right? Mommy Dearest, that part where she throws Betty Davis down the stairs in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
You know, that part doesn't exist.
Yeah, and also the saying about the wire hangers.
Yeah, no more wire hangers. Now she says no more hangers. But come on, that was a big part when she threw her down the stairs in the wheelchair.
It's not in there. I didn't know that. I haven't seen it since I was little, but I used to watch that. I've seen, definitely seen Mommy Dearest.
You used to watch that after you watched Snow White, right?
Maybe after I watched Annie.
Annie had a Mandela too. Yeah. Annie was Mandela too. Yeah, there's a lot of them. I'm still on that the new one with that Coke in a box thing. Like a lot of people were talking in the chat before. I mean, I have a kid. Anybody who has a kid or anybody who throws parties, wouldn't you just go and buy those things instead of bottles or cans? Or you know what I'm saying? Wouldn't you buy it all in a...
I would rather drink out of that carton than I would out of a plastic bottle.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't that make more sense to buy it out of that for any kind of kids' parties or, you know, whatever you sell?
I don't know how messy it is to pour it. Maybe not, but you'd at least know about it. Because especially, you know, we're not talking about, you know, Joe's local root beer down the street. You're talking about Coca-Cola that has the biggest marketing machine behind it, maybe more than almost any other company in America or the world, Coca-Cola. I mean, you can legitimately say that. They've got as much money as anybody. I mean, you're going to know about it if they sold it in cartons, just like if they come out with Coke Zero, or, you know, which that never existed now. Also, it's Coca-Cola Zero.
Coca-Cola Zero.
Yeah, never been Coke Zero. So, you know, it's ridiculous, man. The changes are everywhere. Like I said, I went to the grocery store. Everything I looked at almost, maybe, you know, I got the radar up far, obviously, you know. So even though I'm not looking for it, I'm looking for the shit. But I, like, see it everywhere. Like, out of the corners of my eyes, you see Gorton's fish sticks.
Yeah. That was a big one because I used to eat those all the time as a kid. Oh, my gosh. And I was going to mention that before, too, because that didn't get a lot of videos or anything on that. That's a big one, don't you think?
Yeah, Gorton's cup of noodles, just being cup noodles now. Everybody knows what cup of noodles were.
But there's so many changes, Brian. And you honestly,
you see the most though. I mean, the Stouffer's isn't there. The stovetop stuffing, you know, it's all craft stovetop stuffing. Really, I mean, they might have had a stuffing. I'm not doubting it. I mean, they're a huge.
I didn't know them to have stuffing, but
I never even recognized them having stuffing. And stovetop stuffing was definitely Stouffer's.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. But there's so many new ones. I mean,
mayonnaise.
Huh?
Hellman's mayonnaise has two L's in it now, like the word hell.
Hell. Yeah. Can't keep up, and it's changing more and more every day. And, you know,
it used to be spelled different, and the way I used to spell it makes more sense, because the way it's spelled now should be banana. Because banana, it should have a double N after the first day for it to be
banana. Yeah, I remember when that changed. I was like, what the hell? Yeah, I remember that one.
The word dilemma, the word cemetery. The words
we have a lot.
Yeah, a lot is now two words.
A little.
I get corrected on a lot all the time. I used to spell believe with the E before the I, and if you sound it out, the way it's spelled now should be believe, just like Steven Spielberg.
So did I.
Spell that wrong. I even have memes that somebody called me out on because I had believe spell. I was making fun of something. It said believe, B-E-L-E-I-V-E, and it says I'm wrong. And another big one for me is the word definitely. I spelled way different than it's spelled now. I had an A in there, D-E-F-I-N-A-T-E-L-E-Y, whatever it is. Had an A for the last vowel.
Yeah. When I go texting now, you see that red line is like everywhere, and I'm like, I don't care.
I started saying as new words, so it stops correcting me because I get so sick of it because it keeps correcting me on my words, and I know those words. Cemetery definitely had an A in it. It wasn't all E's, and there's a lot of words. There's not only a lot of words that are going to triple E's. There's a lot of words that were double E's with a third A that are going to triple E's. I've noticed that pattern. For instance, Keenan Ivory Wayans. Keenan, E-E-A, is now E-E-E also, like cemetery. And there's a lot of those, but it's a pattern that I've seen.
But I just think it's weird. I wish that we could, maybe there is no, I wish we could put the connection, you know, and figure out like, you know, the letters and what is it trying to say? You know, you get some S's taken off, duh, added to where there was no duh, you know, or maybe it's just nothing with that. I don't know. You know?
No, none of them are nothing. I mean, they're all changing.
It's crazy. I'm saying maybe there's no hidden message behind it. That's what I'm saying, you know, because a lot of people are hooked on, well, you know, I'm going to get all the S's. I'm going to save this. I'm going to take this word. It forms a word. If you know,
maybe there's not. Maybe it's just all changes to get your attention, you know, maybe it's because of our consciousness awakening. And like I said, maybe it's the creator leaving us clues like, hey, I'm still here, you know.
Yeah.
Because I can't normally contact you, so this is what I'm doing to let you know. Because you're living in a world of deception.
A lot of, I spoke to a lot of people on my Facebook had reached out to me in the last 4 days, quite a few actually, and I feel bad because I haven't gotten back to everybody. But a lot of people have been asking me about symptoms, body symptoms that they're going through, and it's pretty crazy. I mean, a lot of people are going through depression. Bless you. Bless you. A lot of people are feeling like depressed, and there's no reason to feel depressed. And another symptom, huh?
Be depressed because of the Mandela effect?
No, just people are just feeling depressed. They don't know why for like the last few days, a really deep depression. A big one that I've had, I don't even know how many people had asked me if I was feeling it, and I am. They asked me if I feel like just bored, being completely bored. And it's not that you can't go out and do anything or there's nothing to do. There's a million things to do. You know, your friends want to go out. You could go see a movie. But you don't want to do anything. But yet you're so bored. It's like driving you crazy. But yet you don't want to do anything. So I don't know. I don't have the chat up, so I don't know who's in the chat. I don't know if anybody is answering anything to that. But that's another big thing that's been going on. Stomach problems. That was another one. You eat, you feel nauseous. 2 hours later, you're hungry again. You eat, you feel nauseous. Like every 2 hours, you have to nosh on something, and food just doesn't taste the same. It tastes bland. It tastes like nothing. That's another thing. And slight cases of vertigo, on and off, vertigo throughout the day. So that's a big thing. And I've had over 110 people, in the last 4 days, email me. Okay, and it was all the same. It's the same symptoms. And I know you probably didn't feel any of those because you're like probably high all the time. But for us that don't smoke weed, you know.
I was busy typing with my fucking toes now, and you know.
Yeah, this is Brian. Hey, Brian, what's up? There's a whole freaking book to read. I'm like, dude, I just asked how are you. It's like you're the bionic man right now, you know. So, but the depression thing is hitting a lot of people really hard where they just don't want to get out of bed and really coming down on themselves. But it'll go away. It's only like a 3, 4, 5 day thing, and then it kind of disappears, you know. And I don't know if that means we're shifting or if we did shift. I honestly don't know. I don't even know if I believe in shifting, to be honest with you. I don't know. I don't know what to believe anymore. You know, I just know that this is happening. It's definitely happening. How it's happening, you know, the numbers.
I don't think that we can be shifting because, again, we would see the same Mandela's 100% across the board.
And if we're shifting, Brian, then it means that there are many of us. I mean, in different realities, we exist in different realities. And that's not an easy pill to swallow, you know. So if we're shifting, we're shifting into another reality where our parents are there, our friends are there, but that yet they still exist on, you know, the Sagittarius arm. Like, how do you... I'm just not a firm believer of that. I don't believe that we exist in different multiverse or frequencies, whatever you want to call it. I think we're just in one, but I can't explain it because it kind of all points to that. As the days go by, it's starting to really, really point to that. Where your friends are like your friends and everything is great, and the next day they're a completely different person. You know, and I don't mean because their moods change. I mean, they just become a completely different
person. What if... Oh, this is going to sound crazy, right? What if we are one? We're one reality, right? But what if the whole reality that we know that surrounds us is also a conscious thing like us, and there's multiple of those, and those are coming over to us and interacting with us? We're not jumping, but those are jumping through us, kind of.
Oh, wow. I never looked at it that way. That's actually really good.
Yeah, that's how I kind of think of it.
So the people that are coming to us, then we would have to say that they're bots, that they're not conscious beings.
No, and everybody's just on different levels. I mean, it doesn't mean that they're bots. They're all real people. There's only one of us. We're all real people. And then the whole reality around us is actually this thing. It's not just like what we – it's this whole other conscious thing, and there's multiple versions of that. That's what there's multiple versions of rather than us. And it's coming to us. And where it affects different people differently on different levels, that's how we could see different residue. Whereas if we jumped over to different realities, if me and you went to the same reality, there's no Mandela effect that we would disagree on.
But then how would that – but then that wouldn't explain the fact that we're no longer in the same place that we were as far as, you know, the Sagittarius arm, unless that was all bullshit to begin with.
Might have been probably all bullshit to begin with anyways, though.
Right, I guess. You could look – yeah.
You're really going to base it on science claim of outer space. I mean –
Right. Exactly. Right. I don't know. I just know it's really weird, and people have to hang on because sometimes they just give up and they're like, you know what? I'm done. You know, they're losing their friends and family over this, and something better is coming.
At least the Mandela effect community is a lot more positive than the other communities. I'll say that.
They're the ones that are suffering the most. Us in the community are suffering the most. I mean, we're getting slack from family. We're losing our friends. And then we're going through the body symptoms of all of it where other people don't really feel it that aren't affected. You know, we feel it. Well, like I said, you don't feel nothing, but other people, no, I'm joking. But yeah, I mean, we have to deal with all of it, you know, like you get these waves of anger and these waves of sadness and, you know, no more patience, and you get, it's just like waves of shit, and then you can't sleep. You're up every 2 hours or else you sleep all day long and you can't keep your eyes open. We're going through a lot. You know, mental changes, physical changes, everything. And yet, through all of it, we're all right. Because I don't think this is for the weak.
No, absolutely not.
No, this will make you crazy. And, you know, we're getting through it. A little at a time, we're all getting through it. And thank God for the internet, we have each other.
That's what I've been saying. That's why we all need to reach out to each other and do shows and talk about these things. There's a whole bunch of us that are experiencing it. We're not crazy at all. We're actually some of the more aware people to see this, honestly. Really.
Yeah, we're a mix of people, huh? Yeah. Definitely a different mix of people. And are you going to show my picture of my mandala and my mandanable?
I don't know where I put it.
I told you, don't lose that, Brian. Come on, that was a freaky one, dude. You know why I picked that one? Because if you look at the scripture and they talk about the sheep and the lamb and the lamb and the sheep and the lion and the lamb, it's so good. We would know this. We would know that, and it's in the Bible now. So come on. Can you get it? Can you present the picture?
I don't have it. I don't know where it is.
No, just look it up. How else could you present it? Do you know what?
Dave, which picture is it again?
I'm sending it to you. I'm sending you. You see it in the chat? You know, and talking about the... I send it to you in the private chat, Brian. We're talking about, like, the Bible... You know, you don't have to be religious to see that those things shouldn't be in there. Those words shouldn't be in there.
All right, let me bring this up. And I'm going to have to wind it down soon. I'm starving. I have to eat.
Yeah, we'll show this. And then if you wanted to show the other one, if not, you know.
Yeah, I can show the other one too.
Yeah, the one breaking the concrete. And then we can just call it a day because I think we're over 3 hours at this point, and I'm probably going to run out of battery.
Yeah, we are over 3 hours. Okay, I'm going to screen share, guys. So you can see what Laura is talking about. And here you go.
Okay, now don't you think we would have heard of faceless sheep? Faceless sheep.
So literally have no eyes, or is it just all blacked out?
I'm sure they have eyes somewhere. That guy's got his little tongue sticking out. I mean, click on another picture. I don't know. I'm sure they have eyes somewhere. But that is the freakiest thing. They have no face.
Crazy.
Huh?
That's crazy.
It is. I mean, we would have heard of this. Come on, really? You know, I could see something in the ocean or, you know, things like that. No, we don't know anything about our oceans, but something like that we would know. Come on.
Somebody about the spelling of the banana, and I don't think they agree with me on that, but they remember them how they grow now, and they're upside down now. It's crazy.
Yeah, bananas don't grow upside down.
Upside down. Ridiculous. But we're going to wrap it up, guys, because I am starving. We're at almost 3.5 hours.
Holy cow. Okay.
Yeah. People tend to not to click on them. So thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back next week. I might be back Tuesday on my day off with something quick. Maybe not. But we'll be back next week. Don't know what we're going to do yet. I have a couple ideas. It depends on who's available, who's not. Gloria will be around, right, Gloria?
Maybe.
What do you mean, maybe?
What do you mean, Tuesday?
No, Saturday.
Oh, Saturday. Yeah, I thought you meant Tuesday. Yeah.
So Gloria will be around, and I might have another guest on for a different topic. But I'm going to leave that up right now until we figure all that out. So thank you for listening to Dose of Reality. Make sure you sub this. This is my backup channel where we do all our live streams now because of a 90-day YouTube ban. The Real News Online channel is my backup. And this will be uploaded to my main channel. So I'm not sure where you're going to see this yet. But my main channel is Brian S. Stavely. That'll be linked in the show notes as well. Be sure to subscribe to both of them so you don't miss any content. And the Brian S. Stavely channel is the main one. And that's where you can find about 80 videos of us. So just make sure you check it out. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And on that note, we're going to sign off. All right?
Bye, guys.
Also, Nathaniel's link is in the show notes, too, for his Flickr database. Make sure you guys check that out. And if you guys want to reach me at Gloria or our Facebook group, anything like that, it's all in there. All right, guys. Thank you, everybody. Have a good night.
Bye, guys.